everybody. Welcome to episode 214 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And for those counting and wanting to be correct, that's 214. Today's April 9th, 2013. I'm Greg DeLacy, one of your hosts. Joining me this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
You can say 214, Greg. I recognize that in commonly spoken English, everyone does that. However,
in the hood,
doesn't make it right.
That's true. I used to argue with my dad emphatically over the word got. For the longest time, he refused to accept me saying the word got. And then the got milk commercials came out, and I rejoiced.
And there was much rejoicing.
I'm really addicting over saying 2013.
I'm not going to acknowledge that.
But we will acknowledge Richard Primrose.
Yes, acknowledge me. I'm back.
You are back.
You backstabbing bastards.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rich. We're just doing another podcast, just like we always do.
You did me down last week. I heard you.
Did you down? You quit the show and came back. A little contract negotiation.
I'm like a fucking XCOM rookie.
Also on the show this week, the man behind the scenes of the April Fool's Gag podcast, Mike Chin.
Oh, yeah, you put it on me. Now that everyone got confused by it.
Well, Mike, it was your idea.
It was my idea. And so many people were confused by last week's show. So what happened was people
just
said, it was a brilliant idea.
I just want to say that.
Thanks, mate. So a lot of people just went, so what happened with last week's show? Did you upload the wrong file? And I was like, that was kind of the point to make you think that we uploaded the wrong file. Everything that we said about Primrose was true. We do hate him. but like, he came back. We made it. And yeah, it was an April Fool's. We pretended, yeah, aren't we funny?
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line, there really wasn't much going on. There wasn't a lot to talk about.
But Stu from veterinarians.co.uk, check it out. He thought there was a show coming that we recorded a real show afterwards. To be right. Fuck. I can't be bothered.
Wait. Stu, there still is another show coming.
No.
Keep
it's,
refreshing.
He's just refreshing like the iTunes or the Instacast.
He's probably now refreshed it for the 102nd time.
It ain't coming.
Yeah, I did receive quite a few messages from some of our more active fans and also people that contribute to the show, like Parsnip and Shinyverse, saying, did you upload the wrong file? And for a while, I was just trying to play it off, like, what are you talking about? And then I started getting just, you know, message after message. It's only 28 minutes long. The show's almost over and you haven't even started. So, yeah.
It's funny. And then everyone fell for it.
Keep listening. Fell for it, or did they have a choice?
Or didn't listen to
me. Some of them fell for it. It was good. Brilliant.
It was fun. But, yeah. So, It's back to normal this week, guys.
No.
Yeah. Regular podcast.
No.
No April Fool's.
Stu said he actually quite liked us just talking stuff.
You know, it is refreshingly nice sometimes just to talk.
If there's nothing going on, we should just do that.
Yeah, I would agree. And sometimes it's good to just keep us to, like, you know, 30 minutes of talk and then just cut us off.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a feeling that will not happen today, though.
Why?
No, not once we pull Primrose's string.
Could be a long one.
Rich has been waiting 2 weeks to talk
said
about
that. Not about you before, Rich. Ah, it could be a long one.
Lol.
Yeah.
Small.
All right, Mike. Let's knock your games out of the way.
My what games?
The games you've been playing. Let's get them out of the way. Let's talk about them.
All right. Darksiders 2.
It's a game that came out a while ago. The company went under.
Came out this year. Come on, give me a break.
Not come out this year.
Oh, sorry. Correct. Last year.
Right.
It came out. It came out on Earth. Give me a break.
It came to your house this year.
It came out. When was it? Like September or something?
I want to say August. But it might have been September.
You might be right. I've played the first one. Have you, Greg?
I played a little bit of the first one. I played some of the second one. I honestly never was able to get into Darksiders.
I'll tell you, okay, for people that don't know, Darksiders is a Zelda-type game where it's a bit of open world. There's this hub central area, and you go to dungeons and unlock keys and solve little mini puzzles and do some platforming, and you get like weapon upgrades, like in Tomb Raider, you know, where you get something and that then unlocks the ability to do something in that dungeon that you couldn't do before. And then you mix that up with God of War type, hack and slashy type stuff, right? That's Darksiders. Right. Darksiders 2 is very, very similar. You play, in one, you play War, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And at the end, you're blamed for bringing the apocalypse to Earth, and it wasn't your fault, so you've wrongly accused, and everyone's like pissed off at you, and you gotta kill everyone. Then in Darksiders 2, you play Death, who is a happy chap, and he is War's brother, bros before hoes, and he kind of pops around and does pretty much the same thing as Darksiders 1. The difference is you get loot in this one, so it's more like a Borderlands loot system, Borderlands Diablo type thing going on. However, Greg.
Yes.
Chris and Rich, I suppose. I'm talking to everyone. And listeners, you in the car, now, you. However, in Darksiders 2, the loot doesn't really add anything. I'll tell you why. Because it makes it very easy, for example, for you to recognize if it's better than the loot that you've already got. So you walk over it and it'll give you like a green text saying, this is power of 90. It is more powerful than the thing you have now. Press hold back to pick it up. So you do that, and then you never go into the inventory system. You know, you never give a shit about it. You don't really care what it is. So the loot system doesn't really work, to be honest. I'm pretty early on. There's just no point to it, really. Like, it seems really deep. Like, you know, you go into the inventory and there's loads of stuff there, and I don't know what I'm doing with it. But what I liked about Darksiders, and it looks like the pattern's going to be same to this, is it kept on bringing new stuff all the time. There's a point in Darksiders 1 where you basically had a portal gun, all right, which is just brilliant, and I think the same happens in Darksiders 2. So it keeps throwing new toys at you, again, like Zelda, like Tomb Raider, the latest Tomb Raider, like Batman. It just throws these new toys at you, and you get to play with them a little bit, and it's pretty cool. The kind of art style is very comic booky, fantasy, like high fantasy, a bit gothy type stuff, which doesn't really appeal to me. So it's
right,
that's the chore for me. Like, he's going for all
the
that
good news. Nonsense. The good news, Mike. I don't believe there's elves.
There are no elves, and if there were elves, I get to kick the shit out of them because I'm deaf. So. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when they come for you? So, yeah, I like it. I like God... I was going to say God of War then. I like Darksiders 2. The only problem with it is I feel like it's going to have the same issue as I had with 1, where it just felt a little bit too long. You know, the pacing of it just feels really long. And there's certain parts where there's a hub area. I forgot what it's called now. But basically, all these massive, like, Vikings live there, right? And there's this chick there called Arya, and she's got massive jugs. And she, you know, she's there, and she's just talking to him, and she buys stuff there, or whatever. The
Forge. Near a river.
I don't know. The Foundry. That's it. It's called the Foundry. And you go there, and the way out is this, like, stupid little... It's like a waterfall, but you have to go the long way around, and you have to do it every time you want to leave. But when you get past that, you can fast track to somewhere else. But it's just, that's a bit dumb. And it's just unnecessarily, like, making you go the long way when it doesn't really add anything. So I think it's going to be too long. I feel like it's going to be too long. However, it is a fine game. I recommend it for people that like Zelda and gothic shit. And loot.
Yeah. And loot.
Yeah. I've just unlocked the gun. So that's cool.
Alright. Okay. Darksiders 2, it is what it is for you, I guess.
Yeah. It is what it is.
You seem very middle of the road on it.
Yeah. You know, I enjoy it. There's the game, it's a very gamey game. You know? You go from
it's a
gamey game where
put that on the back of the box.
Where, for example, you unlock the gun, right? You've got a gun in this, and the next dungeon you go to will require you to use the gun a lot, and you wouldn't have been able to do anything without the gun. And the boss that you have to fight will need to be defeated with the gun. And I'm sure the portal gun, when that comes along, the dungeon will come along, will need the portal gun. So it's the gamey part of it. All the other stuff, you know, Mark Hamill's in the game. He borrows his voice to like this kind of creature that follows you around, and he was in the first game, and he, you know, does a fine job. The music's brilliant, by the way. That's the thing that I'm really impressed with. The music is awesome. Just epic score, really like high quality, very impressive, very immersive. So. You know, it's a good game. I wouldn't say middle of the road. I think average is unfair, but it's definitely above average. I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it.
All right. And I see a little more Gears of War Judgment.
Yes. Right. Okay. Gears of War. Judgment. The judging of months. Who's played this?
I have. I think I'm the only other one on the show that has.
Chris?
That's I have
Chris.
Not.
His silence.
I have not.
It's not on
this.
The PC, right? You don't care.
Mainly because I'm kind of done with Gears.
Fair enough. Fair criticism.
Yeah.
And Primrose, I'm guessing.
No.
You asleep already? Brilliant. I'm only joking, Rich. I'm only joking. I can hear you. So, Gears of War Judgment. I was very interested in this one because it was written by Tom Bissell. Tom Bissell's a friend of veterangamers.co.uk. You should check it out. It's a great site. And I was interested in the story. But, Craig, there's these things in it called declassified mode.
Yes. Declassified mode. Which I've been making a point to play all of them. And
what difficulty are you playing it on, Greg?
I put it to hard.
Hardcore?
Yeah, hardcore, sorry.
How far are you?
The step up of step up from normal.
Yeah. How far are you in?
I believe the story is now being told through the... actually, no, I take it back. I just switched over to... it's Cole's turn to tell
his
story.
Oh, so you're far in?
Yeah, I'm pretty far in.
Okay.
I've unlocked Aftermath.
Yeah,
I just have.
You're pretty far in, man.
Yeah.
I'm a bit past you. Yeah. So, what happens in the game is Baird is up for trial, and you're playing flashbacks.
Well, the whole squad, from what I gathered, the whole squad's up for trial, correct?
Yeah, the whole squad's up for trial, and each one of them, each chapter is divided by who's telling the story.
Right.
I like the idea. I think it's a fine idea, right? I think it's a great idea. Cool. Okay, let's go with that. And there's other stuff that happens, which I won't spoil for you, Greg, because you haven't got there yet, but it's a fine campaign so far. Then, for people that haven't played it, you start this area, and it's basically large area after large area after large area.
Yeah.
And each large area has a Gears of War logo on the wall, and then you go up to it, and as the memory's being told, you're playing the memory. And the declassified thing, this logo on the wall, if you press it, he'll kind of remember, like, how it actually happened, and which means making it harder. So there will be a crazy wind, or you'll have low visibility, or you'll have harder enemies, or you can only use the pistol. Just basically, how to make the fucking game not fun.
Right, right. Well, I'll say this.
Rich. Yeah, Rich, mute yourself before you like fuck something up.
I will say this.
Thank you, Paul.
I like a lot of the declassified missions, in that they do present a bit of a challenge to go through it. It's not all that conducive to storytelling, for sure, because it feels a bit arbitrary. You know, suddenly all we had were pistols available to us, and we had to go through the whole level just with pistols, you know.
Yeah.
Where I really don't enjoy the declassified missions is when it's you had 4 minutes to get through the level.
I agree with you, Greg, but I dislike them at all. like in their entirety, just because the first playthrough, to me, is just kind of like getting back, you know, just to play it, just to play the game. And then you got this, what happens with them, right? If you're playing it on hardcore, I was playing it with Marsh, and we were going through, and we started to do them, we did them, and then all of a sudden, we came to this one, and we couldn't do it. And we did it. And you have to replay it every time if you want it. Well, you don't.
Chance the poison gas one?
No, we skipped that straight away. As soon as we read that, all right. you don't. To critique myself, right? You don't. If you complete it, you don't have to replay it. Okay, but if you want 3 stars, you have to earn stars for the game. You can replay it. And that's what we started to do. So we started to replay some, and then it got to a point where we stopped replaying them, and then we stopped even looking at them. Well, we look at them, but we don't. If they look easy,
right,
we'll do them. So we now and again we'll just check what it is, and then just move on. And usually it's, well, what's this one? Fuck that.
Yeah, because they give you the choice. I think I would have preferred it if they didn't give you the choice. As you came up to the area, you play through the area, you finish the level, they give you your star rating, and at that point, I wish they would give you the option to, hey, you could play this declassified if you want, and go back and play it.
I think what they should have done is made it unlockable after your first playthrough.
Or that.
That would have been so much better, because it changes the game a lot. All right, and
it
changes the level a lot, and it changes the way you play the level a lot. And I think it's a good idea, but on the second playthrough, it would have made the second playthrough so much more worthwhile than because I don't want to play it again. And I know that when I play a game with Marsh, he won't care about doing these. However, when I play it with my other friend Ben, he will want to do every one of them.
Yeah.
On insane. All right, so I'm looking at some of them. I'm like, oh god, I've got to do this for Ben. apart from that, I think Gears is great. I think the multiplayer is fantastic. I think it's.
I definitely am enjoying Overrun a lot.
I haven't played a lot of Overrun, to be honest, but I've played a lot of the Team Deathmatch, and one of my favorite Gears of War multiplayer experiences is Gears of War Judgment. It just is different enough because. You know, we've had a lot of Gears games, and Chris, you said you're done with Gears, and that's fine. But, you know, you swap your weapon on the Y button, you throw your grenade on the LB button, and it just feels different, and you can fall. This is the biggest thing, you fall. And that doesn't sound like a big change, but when you're so used to people just, you know, being ahead of you, but they're above a wall so they can't get you, and then all of a sudden they jump over the wall to get you, you're like, shit. And then people are above you on a bridge, and you're shooting them, and they just drop and get you. Oh, God, I have to think completely differently how I play this game now. So it's so cool that it's different. And the levels, you know, the maps are good. There's not enough of them. I still hate that. But
I would totally agree. The more I thought about it, the more I realized it even with the extra 2 maps they gave you, I think it was on April 1st, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I've downloaded them. There's like a snow one, I think, for the Team Deathmatch.
But it still feels like
it still sucks. There should be 4 more each game mode. There should be 4 more.
I think what they should have done is they should have taken, because they split the maps. Half of them are for Team Deathmatch. Half of them are for Overrun. They should have made every map available to play on each mode.
Maybe, but you know, I still think even if they just dish them out as free now for the next like 2 months, that would sweeten it a little bit. But will I be playing it in 2 months? Maybe not.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that.
No, they won't do it.
I was pretty amazed how fast the weapon switching happens now.
Oh yeah, I remember you saying like when I first got the game, I didn't really like look for it. But you're right, like how fast they change the weapon off their back. Compared to swapping with the D-pad, is inhuman. Inhumanly fast how they do it. And now I do it like as a joke. I keep pressing the Y button, and it just looks like this weird random movement that they can swap guns. But it's a fine game. I will say that I'm pretty pleased with it, to be honest. It doesn't feel like a proper Gears of War though. You know, I like the what I haven't got to the aftermath campaign.
I haven't seen the
teaser trailer for it, which you get an achievement for. I didn't know, but I watched it, and you get an achievement unlocks for it. But I didn't know this. It's set at the same time as Gears of War 3.
Yes, it's the story of Baird where they split off to go get ammo, basically.
Yeah. And there's this whole campaign about it. I think that's pretty cool. So, you know, this definitely feels like a Christmas special of the Gears.
It's a good way of putting it.
It's a little Christmas special that you know,
you paid $60 for.
Yeah, you paid full price for, but I still think it's a pretty good deal, even though they dicked you with the maps. Because the normal campaign that I'm doing right now is pretty lengthy, you know? It is pretty lengthy,
right.
So the fact that there's another one, I don't know how long that one is, but it's a good package, even though there should be more maps. That is me, done. I bought Full House Poker, by the way. I know it's a bit of a joke on the Veteran Gamers, but...
Well, you had to. It was on sale.
It was on sale. It was half price. Mark of the Ninja was also half price for people that didn't pick it up. Boo-hoo to you, but yeah.
By the way, they're doing another crazy sale this week. Apparently, Microsoft has gotten the full-on Steam sale.
It's good.
Publisher sales, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I bought Full House Poker, and I had no idea what was going on when I was playing it, because it was just gifting me loads of money. But when you've got, like, six people playing at the same time, Greg, and they're all in the same party, chatting away, that's fun.
No, don't get me wrong.
That's a fun game.
Poker is fun, sitting around the table
with
your buddy.
Like, someone puts all in and you're like, oh, here we go, someone's fucking doing this. And, oh, it's fun.
The only thing missing from Full House Poker, and you know, God knows, maybe you guys set it up with the PayPal accounts, it really is real money. Vested real money to where you sweat when you're thinking.
You want that though?
Yeah. I think that would be. I mean, that would make playing Full House Poker incredibly fun.
But that's gambling. They can't do gambling in certain countries and all this stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't gamble on Xbox Live.
No. We could probably gamble away 100 Microsoft points though.
Yeah, and there's all that. Like, you could cheat it. As I'm sure there's loads of ways you could cheat that, and then people could say, "Oh, well, I'll give you loads of money if you know."
Oh yeah.
It
would be a night.
Yeah,
it'd be a night. Will never happen, but I'll just say there is a decided difference of playing poker for fun versus playing poker for money.
Yeah, I'll get that, because people always kind of pay way more than they usually do, but you can run out of money, and you do have a budget. So I think they have thought of that as best as they can. They've dealt with it as best as they can, but play poker, everyone. It's a game.
Yeah. All right. Let's tackle Mr. Matthews talking about Tomb Raiders.
No, there isn't much to say. I finished it. It was really good.
It is really good.
I really liked the way they wrapped it up. I thought I was surprised at the ending, because I thought there was a twist coming that didn't come.
I don't really know what you're talking about, but I'll.
Well, we're not doing a spoiler show, but there was something that I predicted for the ending that didn't turn out to be, is all.
Are you pleased about that? Are you?
No. I thought
the non-twist was a good twist.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought the not doing that twist actually made it better. The doing that twist would have been kind of cheesy. So I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. You know, it kind of tied back into the Tomb Raider. I don't know what the right word is, but it had that Tomb Raider feeling. You know, you started off with something that looked sort of mundane and slowly found out that it was this very supernatural kind of goings on.
Right.
So that was good. I enjoyed it.
I definitely liked the pacing of the story, in that, you know, it starts off, you're a survivor. I mean, I hate to say it, because it seems like the way that they canned it from the PR, you know, the survivor is born into, you know, the Tomb Raider, kind of happens, and the story actually really does bring that along. You go from, you know, kind of just exploring the island and trying to figure out, you know, or I should say watching Lara, you know, become more capable, to suddenly you're finding more artifacts, and suddenly you're full blown into this kind of supernatural artifact plotline twist.
Mm-hmm.
Or arc. Rich, I know you're playing this as well right now. I don't know how far into it you are, but
I'm at the beach.
Then. You're on the beach.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
All right.
Pretty far.
Are you sunbathing right now, or are you?
No, I'm not sunbathing. No. Do you want my thoughts on this game now?
I would love your thoughts. Greg might as well.
Greg doesn't want anybody's thoughts on this game. He wants other than his own, apparently.
Whoa!
Oh, you know, he's like, "Hey, Chris, what do you think about this game?" Yeah, I thought it was really and I like this, and I like this. Rich, what do you think? Oh, Chris, you weren't done. I'm sorry, I had no idea.
Well, the conversation will bring you back into it. You'll be allowed to speak on your.
I'm sorry. I'll be quiet. Go ahead, Rich.
He's so gonna kill you.
I've not finished it. I think it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. My comparisons would be, at the minute, what I've felt from it have been, it's given me like the cinematic feel of Max Payne 3, which is what I really enjoyed that, you know, with the way that it's shot and everything. Niggles, I've got one major niggle.
Okay.
And that is QTE events. Fucking too many quick time events.
There's not that many after the first couple of hours. There's not that many.
I would disagree with that.
You really felt they were that intrusive or that many?
Put it this way. I mean, if I had to make a point of it on Far Cry 3, right, I'd say there's about four times more quick time events I've done in this game than I did in Far Cry 3. So
I felt at the start there was a bit QTE heavy, but after that, I don't know. It's not fresh in my mind, though. You might be right. It's not really as fresh in my mind as it is in yours. So.
Yeah, I suppose it could be, but I mean, at least where I'm coming from, when I was playing it, it never felt like they were done in an obnoxious way.
Well, I think there's a better way of doing them. That they sort of got there to in some of the, you know, when you there's a lot of sliding cinematic part,
right,
where they get you to pull out your shotgun and then press. I think if you did something along the lines, because let's get rid of these quick time events. What I'd say is if you could pull, like, if you're doing everything that's normally quick time events is some sort of struggle or a boss fight. So I don't see why you can't just use your, you get a lot more satisfaction of using your joypad and pulling your trigger. So why can't you do, like, they've got a very nice subtle way of highlighting things in the game, whether you're climbing up them and stuff like that. So why can't you say highlight a portion of a model and you point either pointing a gun to shoot that part instead of doing this? You've got to time this button press here and, you know, make it a bit more fluid, you know, while you, because that's the whole feel of the game. The whole feel of the game is that you're in this like world that's immersed you into it. And that's what they want from this game. They want to pull you in and they don't want at any point to put you on the outside of it. So, and the quick time events always do that for me. So that bugs me. But do really like it.
Okay. All right. I want to say I was refraining from the, you get a lot of satisfaction from using your joypad and pulling your trigger.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Definitely.
Chris,
until you
I know you wanted
refraining just then.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
I've got one more niggle. Comrade Roth. The guy that plays Comrade Roth. Right. My American friends might not recognize this, but the guy that does the voiceover for Comrade
Roth. Is he from Sheffield?
I don't know. He's not Scottish. That's all I'm saying.
No, he's from Sheffield, definitely. He sounds like he's from Sheffield. That's a Sheffield accent he's got.
Yeah, he's not Scottish, and he sounds terrible.
No, he's not Scottish. He's nowhere fucking near Scottish.
No. And,
well, I suppose Sheffield is like North England, but yeah, it's not very close to Scotland.
Hold on. IMDb. Ba-ba-ba-boom. Magic. Got this earlier.
Someone said he sounds like Sean, what's his name? Sean Bean. And he's from Sheffield as well. And he does sound like Sean Bean.
Robin Atkins Downs, born in UK and then went to America. He was the computer in Prometheus. So Greg will like that. Chris will like that. There you go. That's one for you, Greg. And he was actually in Bioshock Infinite as well. But they saw fit not to give him a big part. He was just part of the additional voices. So there you go.
Because he couldn't pull off the Scottish accent.
Or because...
Pull up. We really need you to be Scottish. I'm not Scottish. Well, but we really need you to be. But I'm not. That'd be great.
All right, Chris. You wanted to say more about this game. I want to give you that opportunity. I don't want you to feel like I've cut you off.
No, it's all right, Greg. I understand. We got to move the show forward. We certainly wouldn't want to belabor any points here.
So dry, mate. You're so dry.
No, so I really liked the game. I really enjoyed it. I didn't find the QuickTime events to be all that intrusive. I enjoyed it enough that I think I will, after a couple of days, go back and dig up all the various collectible thingies and try to get all the upgrades for all the guns. You know, there is some weirdness to it. You know, everybody's talked about it. Like, you know, you're very apologetic when you kill that first deer, but then now I get XP and nuts and bolts every time I kill an animal. So it's just wholesale slaughtering of anything that breeds.
Especially the rabbits and crows. Fuck them right.
Rabbits, crows, rats, pigs.
Right. No, it's not the cat you're hunting, though, as well.
So I had one area where they said... The cat you're hunting. Yeah, I had one time I had that area hunt pop up where it said, you know, now you only get a limited amount of XP and salvage from this area. But it hasn't happened in any of the other areas. So I don't know. What's up with that?
They were saying originally the hunting was actually going to play a different role in terms of how it affected her.
Uh-huh.
Like I think it gave maybe her XP towards her survivalist skills as opposed to everything. But then they just made it a universal XP system.
Yeah, and it didn't bother me because the way the game is designed, you have to be able to grind out some XP if you're going to max out all your abilities, and that's fine. I really liked the little puzzles when you go into the bonus tombs, you know, rather than having these big elaborate got to go back three screens to solve the puzzles.
Yeah.
So I thought those were pretty good. I like the way that, you know, like Rich said, that the terrain is kind of subtle. Like you can see, okay, that's white, I can climb on that, or that's craggy, I can stick the pickaxe in that. You know, those kind of things. So I really enjoyed it. Looking forward to going back and messing around a little bit more. But I decided to put it aside because I hadn't played much BioShock. So I put a few hours into BioShock.
Okay. Well, let's we'll be jumping into that in a minute.
Right,
but
before we go into BioShock,
kinda...
then I should finish up with I did play one more match in the XCOM Enemy Unknown tournament against the host, the man himself, Metric Pizza, and we had a good match. It was pretty tense. I was satisfied with the outcome.
Well, you were satisfied with the outcome because you won.
Well, yes, but I was also satisfied that it was a good, like, it wasn't like I knew from the out or from very early. Like, I thought I had him. So he had more dudes on the field than me. He had five and I had three.
Right.
And I saw his little group of three and I saw a way to dispatch the three of them quickly. So I charged in and I took him out. And then when that wasn't the end, I was like, ooh. This just got interesting, and he had two more, and he managed to kill one of mine. So then it was 2v2, and he had him set up pretty well, and he wasn't going to come out of his cover position. He was going to make me come for him. So it got pretty tense near the end. There, it came down to one lucky dice roll for me that made the difference. So it was fun.
What was that dice roll, Chris?
I took a shot that had a 85% critical chance, and it happened to be critical, and that made the difference. If that hadn't been a critical hit, I'd have been in trouble.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is there just an element of luck involved in?
Most certainly.
there is a bit. So you can position your forces to put the percentages in your favor, but even a 95% isn't a guarantee. I've missed 95%. Plenty of times.
Did you call bullshit when it happens?
Usually.
Oh, you hate it.
Yeah, I usually scream. Not really, but in my head.
I do.
Yeah. I've screamed a few times playing XCOM.
But hey.
Mostly against you, Chris.
Yeah, well,
mostly against you.
You'll get me, Greg.
No, I did, in fact, Chris, after we played last week and you schooled me two times, I played one more ranked match testing out a different squad setup, and literally had a 25 turn match against this other guy, and it came down to 1v1. He had a what do you call it, the sectoid commander, and I had a sniper, but I had used up all of the Archangel flight for the sniper.
Oh, yeah.
So I was having to scurry around on the ground, and he used Mind Fray on me. So I literally had like two health points left, and we get to the top of the roof, and I had the drop on him, but I had used my half my turn to get to the top of the roof, so I had to switch to pistol.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I wasn't able to add in anything better than the regular pistol. So I shot the sectoid commander for 2 damage, and then it was the dice roll was if he hit me, then I was dead.
Yep.
But if he misses me, I was going to be able to take him out, and unfortunately he got me.
Well, that's what it came down to. He had a sniper and I had an assault, and the assault had lightning reflexes. So I knew I was just going to have to charge him, because once you get in close, the sniper rifle's accuracy goes way down.
Yeah.
So I charged in and got close, but I did that too soon, because he had put smoke on his sniper, and I thought that getting the assault trooper right next to the sniper would get me a hit, even with the smoke, but it only got it to like 35%, and I missed. And then he surprised me because he switched from his sniper rifle to a plasma pistol. And so then it was just who can do the most damage first. We were just standing right there shooting each other. I had a sniper who took out his support soldier, but it was closer than it seemed, I guess is what I'm saying. Good fun.
All right.
Good fun.
Excellent. And as a matter of fact, Chris, you are next on my,
Well, first Primrose and I have a match.
Yeah. First you play Rich sometimes. And then you'll be caught up and then we will be dancing.
Doom.
For reals. For the record. All right.
Not really for the record, because there's still the playoffs to be had.
True. Rich, let's dive into you, because I mean, we pretty much covered everything except for BioShock Infinite.
Oh my God.
For me. And I know you have a couple of the games you wanted to talk about.
None of us have talked about BioShock Infinite because of last week.
I know. Mm. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I've been playing a couple of Xbox Live arcade games. Played Alien Spidey. Don't know if anybody's heard of that.
I heard of it. I downloaded it, but I never played it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's got the web mechanic where you can fling spider webs and swing. Got a swing mechanic as well. Side-scrolling platformer type thing. It's quite solid, actually, the difficulty on it. But it has got that Super Meat Boy instant restart thing, so it's not as frustrating as it could be. It's a solid game, definitely, and worth probably picking up if you decided to on the sale. Unfortunately, it's been plonked in right in alongside Battle Block Theatre. Which is the new joint from the guys that did Castle Crashers. So me and my son love Castle Crashers, and we always play it together. So we got demo down, and I played it on my own first, and then I said to him, you need to have a go at this because I think you'll like it. So you've got the same sort of cutesy type characters, which is great. And you get to pick what shape head you've got and stuff like that. And you're thrown into, what is a screen-based, platformer, where we was playing the challenge mode. So there's a story mode, and the storytelling and narration of it is very funny. And that's good. And it's very silly and it makes you laugh and it definitely makes kids laugh. But we was playing the challenge mode, which is one where it's just a lot of doors and you can do upgrades and things like that. And you can unlock doors by collecting a certain amount of jewels, on each screen. So it's got that, Angry Bird type completion thing where you'll get graded on how many jewels you've collected during each level. And then at a certain point, it'll unlock the exit. But if you want to continue, you'll eventually have to go back and get more jewels from each level so that you can unlock more doors further on. So yeah, again, it's got the Meat Boy feel to it. We played it and was really enjoying it. So what we also did was, we unlocked it, and first thing it pops up, it says, 'cause you play Castle Crashers, we're going to give you some Castle Crasher heads. So that's great. So you can put your Castle Crasher head on and you feel like playing Castle Crashers. And it's got the same great co-op in it as well. So you can play local, play online.
So is it a platform and puzzle game or is it?
Yeah, it is. I'm just trying to think of what you could compare it to that we've played probably recently. It's a typical jumping up and down side scrolling game, but it's got a lot of different attributes in there. Like you've got electrified floors or lava floor. So when you jump on the lava floor, it'll make you jump up and down on your toes. It doesn't kill you, but it'll bounce you all over the screen. So you've got to do planned jumps to avoid enemies and so on, just so that you bounce over at the right time. There's cloud platforms that you can go on. There's also like destructive platforms, the typical fare that you would get. And then it introduces as well, you do get weapons eventually. We've got like a killer frisbee at the minute where
nice.
There's dudes that are flinging frisbees at you, but you can collect and you get your own frisbees to fling. And you can have frisbee
so
battles.
There's like a lot of collectibles in this game, like shit you can find and collect. So it's like Castle Crashers in that sense, like you just unlock loads of stuff all the time.
Stuff, and you feel like, you know, you don't feel bored that you have to go back into a level and get other things from it. And then it's got like branching off rooms as well that you can go in. There's like a TV channel room and stuff, but we've not done too much with that. We were just sticking to the screens. But there's a lot there out in like the hub bit, where you're picking your levels to go into. So there's plenty of stuff to explore. And like I say, we picked up on Saturday, so we've only been playing on it for about 2 or 3 days. But it's great fun. Really enjoying it.
Cool. So they've done it again.
Excellent. Yeah, done it again. Yeah. Yeah.
It will be interesting to see how arcade games fare, not just on the Xbox 360, but on the PS3 as well, as we get deeper into this year and the coming next gen consoles start coming forward.
Have you noticed this year it doesn't seem like there's been any sort of promotion about, you know, the the summer of arcade and all that sort of stuff? It seems like
it's deaf, hasn't it? It's been a little dry. Yeah. So I guess more to come maybe. Hopefully we'll get an announcement on something. All right, well let's dive into BioShock Infinite.
Shit.
I believe everybody here has played it, if not completed it.
I've finished it.
Me too.
I have not finished it.
What's up, Greg?
I guess I'm probably halfway into it.
You guess?
Well, it's hard to know, but I really want to be careful not to be spoiling anything for anybody that's, you know, getting into playing it right now. Let's just put it this way. I've, experienced, Elizabeth using her powers, to affect something for me to change something.
Very specific.
Try not to be.
I have just left
Chris,
what
about you?
The beach.
You just left the bit on the beach.
Oh, yeah. I love that bit.
I know where you're at. Yeah. So I think all of us would agree it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but does that matter anymore?
No.
I mean, really?
No.
Says the PC gamer.
Fair enough. Too short. I'm just saying, like, so on the Xbox 360, BioShock Infinite is probably one of the best looking games you've played on the Xbox 360. Right, BioShock Infinite is probably
there.
One of the
it's up there with
games.
Tomb Raider,
I think Tomb Raider takes it.
Yeah, they're close. They're close.
But my
different
point
styles,
is,
though, Greg. Yeah, go ahead.
My point is, with this console generation, yes, games look better now than they did when these consoles first started. But everything, like something having good visuals, is like the bare minimum anymore. I think if
it doesn't really
there are some games out there. The Walking Dead, Survival Instinct, that would...
Yeah, I mean, but look, even then, like, they probably would have been serviceable like 4 or 5 years ago.
Name the attributes of the things that you would say needed to be in there to...
Well, here's what I want to... And maybe we take this in a different direction. I agree with Chris in that it looks great. It's probably not worth really going on about. I mean, it's a good-looking game. It I think would probably be something to talk about if it wasn't a good looking game.
Yeah.
If they did have graphical problems. So, that set aside, I did have a couple, gripes, if you will. One, I really wish anybody making a first-person shooter where you have the ability to use iron sights would just make the default the left trigger for pulling up your iron sights.
Yeah.
I don't care what special powers you have.
You can't do that.
Yes.
I don't think that works with BioShock. No. And I don't think that's mandatory. I'm gonna disagree with you, Greg, and I'm gonna disagree with you with one word, and that word is Halo.
Well, here's my counter to that. I have switched up my Halo 4 configuration to have the left trigger pull up.
That's because you suck at Halo.
You know what? Kiss my ass. Anyway, so yeah,
this is what our arguments are like, people.
Yeah, I hate the fact that the iron sights are not on the left trigger.
Fair comment, but how would you? Put it to you, Greg. How would you solve that problem of having the Vigors not bumpers on the left trigger?
Bumpers. Use it like grenades.
Well, then how would
you swap?
The Y button.
For both.
I don't know. Whatever. Hold it down.
I don't know. Whatever. That's what they say on the game.
You could have the right bumper being your selection for the Vigors, and then the left bumper would be the activating of the Vigors, and then the Y button, you just hold it.
Do the left and right on the D-pad do anything?
Then how do you melee?
Left and the right and the D-pad don't do shit.
So there you go. That could be a solution.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway.
I'm kind of with Chris on this one.
I'm not saying it's a big deal.
I'm going to disagree with you for another reason, and that is, I don't even use the iron. Like, at first, I was like, this is annoying, but Duke Scath made the point on the VG show, you don't need to use the iron sights with this game.
That's true.
You don't have to. Yeah.
I very rarely use them. In fact, I think I'm worse off using them sometimes.
Yeah. Apart from the sniper rifle, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if I'm worse off for using it because I'm trying to use it and using the thumbstick by clicking it in, and if I wouldn't be much better with it if it was just on the left trigger. I don't know.
No, I don't think the iron sights in this game, other than for the sniper rifle, I don't think that's the way it's designed to work. It's designed for you to be shooting from the hip, running for cover,
and to be mixing up the vigors and stuff.
Yep.
Right, I got your vigor. The other thing I wish they did saves. The quick the
checkpoints.
Intermittent quick saving checkpoint saves are not close enough.
I'll agree with you on that.
It is frustrating to me to be playing through and have to go do something and be like, okay, I want to quit, and am sitting there waiting for that stupid saving screen to come up, and at many times have had to just say screw it, and then of course I'm going back to the last checkpoint. Area.
I never had that, and if I died in like a big battle, I always felt like it had put me right back, and the enemies that I'd killed more or less until you get right to the end, it seemed to be it was just what was left that I had to kill.
Hang on, have any of you finished it again? Sorry if you've answered this question, but have any of you finished it?
Rich has finished it.
I've finished it.
So your mind's been blown. Okay, fine. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is it. I think that's got a lot to do with this sort of opinions we're getting.
Mm.
Well, these are
because we need to talk.
No, I'm just saying, like, because there's a lot that happens. That's all. There's a lot that happens at the end, Greg. Just a lot that just goes, okay, this changes everything. So I just need to know who is with me on that and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, but again, I maybe it should be restated. I'm not saying the game is bad by any stretch. Yeah, sure. I'm very much enjoying it. The story is getting more interesting as I play into it.
Yeah.
And Mike, we talked about this before. You were saying, give it a little bit of time. It definitely has picked up. Mm. I know a lot of people have said how they loved the beginning of this game and they thought it was great. I thought it was slow.
I thought the whole
I think it falls in love with itself a little bit too much at the start.
Yeah, I thought the whole Close Encounters of the Third Kind piece was pretty cool. And then it was kind of
cool.
And
that
it
was
kind of
really
slow.
Cool. Yeah, I was impressed by that. Then, the religious stuff, all that kind of stuff, I was like, okay, get on with it. And then you see a bit more Columbia, I was like, okay, it's getting me a bit more interesting. And then, holy begonzo beans, everything kicks off.
I'll just put a point in about the slowness of the beginning. I don't know if this went for you as well, Mike. Upon completion, did you immediately go back in and start again? No.
Basically, it's because I'm a busy man. and I don't have time for such things.
To
your comment there, I do plan to one day. Because totally the game kind of makes you want to go. I want to see all this again. I want to see little things that I missed that I now know a little bit more about again. But I just haven't because I finished it and I was like, that was awesome. But I need to kind of move on because I've got so many games to play.
Yeah. So from my point of view, I understand what you're saying about it being a bit slow to start off, but the fact that it was slow to start off with made it great because I knew that I could jump straight back in and just have a look around and pick up all the points that I missed in the first half an hour of the game, because there was so much squeezed into that first bit that if you go back in, it's like watching the episodes of Lost where the plot lines cross over and you see things on the television in the background of bars that link to other people's storylines and stuff like that. And the way that they've crafted this game with the intricacies that they've put in the background and stuff like that, I thought, and I understand what you're saying about the first 15, 20 minutes of it, but if you go back into it immediately after, it's great because you can just flow through that first bit and just go around and just, oh yeah, that's why that happened.
Yeah, and especially like the kind of, well, I won't say too much, but yeah, there is a part at the start that means a lot more at the end. Okay. There's definitely a reason for that kind of slowdown, but I do feel like that the game, like I said before, falls in love with itself a little bit. It's like, oh, look how amazing we are. And I get to the point where I'm like, come on, get on with it. You know, show me what you got. But when it does kick off, like, that's my first, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when it first, you have to throw an object, that's the first time my jaw dropped in the game. I was like, no, this game is not about this. Like, that is ridiculous. Yeah, and then I had no problem killing all those people.
Yeah. I will say the zipline stuff, as cool as it is, feels... it doesn't feel all that important.
I've started to learn how to use that as part of the combat. So,
no, yeah. I've been dabbling with it more, but it doesn't... I mean...
It's a cool mechanic.
It's a cool mechanic.
For traversing around arenas, because a lot of it does end up being arena battles.
Right.
And you soon find that these sky rails are one of two things. They're either like circuits of your battle area, or... there are means to get to another level above.
Yeah, and Rich, when you actually were talking with me about that, it kind of clicked in, and I started using it for circuiting in the battle arena. But, up until then, I was really wanting it to be this way to zipline, you know, between different parts of the world. But then I quickly realized I have no effing clue where to go. I mean, it feels like an open world, but it's not.
No, it's definitely not an open world, but just get, like, sometimes those skylines are just so cool. I'll give you one example.
Oh, they are. You feel like you're on a roller coaster.
One example, which is spoiler free, where there's this airship, right, and it's like dicking me. It's just like on my right, and it's just absolutely canning me with like missiles and stuff. And I'm like, oh god. And then one of the carriages falls off the skyline, which is supposed to happen. And I was just in panic mode, you know, when you're just trying to run away. And I saw the skyline, I saw the thing to attach it, and I went, fine, right, I'm doing that. Went on it, and little did I know that that's exactly what you're supposed to do so you can end up on that airship and then take it down and then land. And I did it all in, like, it had to be about 40 seconds. You know, I went on that, went all the way around, killed about the five people that are on it, took it down, jumped off it, and I felt like Jason Bourne. It was awesome, and I just at that moment the game got me. Like, it was like that. Well, that was worth every penny that I paid this game for. So I absolutely, you know, some people saying they're getting disorientated with it, or they just simply don't like it. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's a really good way to get out of trouble. But at the same time, if you stay on them too long, you can be quite vulnerable. If those massive guys that you probably haven't fought too many of yet, Greg, they can electrocute them, so they'll get you back off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. So, you know, they're good, but they're not life-saving. I think that.
Well, I think at least for me, now that I'm understanding the mechanics of it and knowing I can slow it down, I can speed it up.
Yeah.
You know, and switch directions, it's becoming a much more useful tool in combat.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, maybe this is just my experience, but it seems like they didn't do a terribly good job of really explaining the Skyhook and how, you know, effective you could use it in the game.
Might be.
Because
it seems like an awful lot of people
job of just letting you figure it out.
Well, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's just kind of the way they wanted it to be. It was a you figure it out. But it seems like an awful lot of people have had similar commentary about the Skylines being kind of a take it or leave it. Some people love it. Some people are just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think this is absolutely one of the games you have to be playing this year.
We all agree, right, that this is a fucking brilliant game. Right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't finished it.
You think it's a brilliant game or what?
I think it's really good. Yeah. I mean, I'm not as enamored of it as a lot of other people are, but I think it's really good.
Yeah. But if someone said, like, Greg, I think you're going to say that you, at the moment, your experience with Tomb Raider is a little bit more valued than your experience with Bioshock.
And I think Chris actually is with me on this
one. I agree with Greg there.
The more I think about that, like, if you'd have said that to me last week, I probably would have flown to California and just punched you in the face and then left. But the more I think about it, the more I kind of time away I get from Bioshock, I kind of see it. I don't agree, but I see it because it's.
But you can't actually say it because you've not finished the game.
Right.
It's a story. Well, it's a story-driven game. That, you know, I know it's all wrapped around the shell of a first-person shooter, but it's all about the story. That's why people are saying afterwards, yeah, this is an amazing game. So if it's like I can't say anything about Tomb Raider not being better than Bioshock because I've not finished it yet. I don't know if there's anything that's going to blow me away at the end of it. I mean, people are talking about twists, so that twist might make me think, yeah, this is a shit-hot game, and it is probably up there or better than Bioshock, but I can't say that yet because I've not finished it.
Yeah, I think Chris and I both, we're still playing it. We're definitely enjoying it. We very well both may be at the end of our playthrough on Bioshock Infinite, be in the same camp as Rich and you, and being like, you know what, great, great game, better than Tomb Raider, who knows?
Well, I'll just say this. It hasn't grabbed hold of me yet. Like I'm interested in it. I want to see where it goes, but it's not to the point where I can't put it down kind of a thing.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you, Chris. Tomb Raider, I could not put that game down. I wanted to keep playing it and exploring, and it consumed me for a good week solid. And Bioshock Infinite right now still is, a game that I can easily be sidetracked by something else to do at the moment.
Wow.
I want to play it, but I'm not like, oh my god, I can't wait to pick up Bioshock Infinite again.
Did you come across those, the Patriots?
Yes.
I love those. At the same time, I don't like them. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those like, oh god, here they are. But I think they're great.
There was one other thing that kind of got on my nerves, and that was, it's near the beginning. You entered this building. It's right after you have a gunfight with the police. And then the little tutorial pops up and says, you know, violence isn't always the answer or whatever. And then those people don't shoot at you. And so from then on, anytime I go into somewhere, I'm looking to see if there's a chance that they won't shoot at me. But they always do. So
there's a bar that you go into and you think, oh, maybe people won't shoot me. And then they look at you and they just start shooting for no reason.
Hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of on that too, it is kind of funny. There are certain times where you go into stores or things, and for the most part, you can pretty much just walk into a store and go anywhere within the store and search it. Although I did just last night have a situation where somebody told me, hey, you can't be back here. You got to leave. But on average, any stores or whatever I go into...
Was that a shantytown area by any chance?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I pretty much can go in, and I'm searching everything under the sun that's searchable.
Yeah, but what do you expect, Greg? They're throwing money in the bin. Don't matter.
I know.
They're not bothered.
I know.
They're not bothered. They've got loads of money.
And this is actually kind of a complaint to Tomb Raider and to BioShock. And it's something that at first I kind of let slide on Tomb Raider, in conversations. But the more I think about it, the more I wish developers would get away from audio files. And
the BioShock was the star, wasn't it?
I know. I love the story that they're telling.
Yeah.
And it's key stuff sometimes that you want to hear.
Yep.
But you can miss this stuff. They hide it. It's not like it's in plain sight.
Well, they gift you the good ones.
True.
I don't know if you've noticed, true. But there are ones that are just like, well, you would never ever miss that.
Right. But
I've got a niggle with that for both games, and it's one that I think BioShock does better than Tomb Raider. If you pick up an audio file, you should be able to carry on walking.
Yeah, just stops your game. Just goes, stop doing whatever you're doing. It's not as important as this stupid thing. And you can guarantee the ones in Tomb Raider are not as relevant as the ones in BioShock. They're interesting sometimes, but in BioShock, you can miss massive plot points or really interesting things about the characters that you've come across.
The difference, I think, between Tomb Raider and BioShock, the audio files in BioShock are telling you a lot about other characters you're coming across in the game, whereas in Tomb Raider, I felt like a lot of the audio files really related back to Lara, and it was giving you background or connections with her and other characters in the game.
Yeah.
As far as right, narrative and storytelling is concerned, then, and this is obviously because you've not finished it yet, would you say that the storytelling you've experienced in Tomb Raider is better than BioShock? Because I would equate it to like an action type movie.
I have not really any depth to it. I have a suggestion, Rich.
Mm.
When you ask a question, allow someone to answer it.
Oh, sorry. carry on.
Here's one thing I do really appreciate about BioShock, and I am looking forward to getting through. The storytelling in BioShock is very deep. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of different social commentary going on. There's a lot of references to American history and American literature. And I do appreciate those things, and I am looking forward to digging into those. So in terms of sophistication of storytelling, certainly BioShock is better than Tomb Raider. In terms of pacing, maybe Tomb Raider's a little bit better. It keeps it moving a little, in my opinion, so far.
Okay. Great.
Right. I would actually echo what Chris just said. I really love the pacing of Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the pacing of the story and the gameplay that I think Tomb Raider really got, like, they nailed it.
The only thing of Michael's criticism of Tomb Raider really is like, and you and Greg, Chris and Greg, you talked about it, and you and Primrose actually, you said, oh, you didn't miss them, but those, you know, the huge epic tombs, that you go in, that you have those portal moments where you go in, and you're like, I have no idea where I'm going to start with that. I miss those. And even if there was just two of them in the whole game, there's just two moments where you're just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start.
If you go back, I mean, I actually was saying I liked the puzzles in very much the way Chris was talking about it. I liked the simplicity of them. They weren't overly, you know, engaging. But what I wanted to see was those tombs have, you know, one of those puzzles, and then maybe it allows you to go a little bit deeper into the tomb, and you have another one. So just make that bit a little bit longer, but it didn't need to be overly complicated. I was actually rather thankful that the puzzles themselves were they were just enough to make you think a little bit, but not so complex that it potentially was a game stopper where you were just like, fuck. And I also thought it was nice that they weren't part of the main storyline.
Can I ask a PS3-related question, being as I'm the poor boy that ain't got one?
Sure.
If this is Uncharted-type game, I would like to play Uncharted. Is this game, in your opinion, because you both finished it, Chris and Greg, and yes. Mike as well, you've got a PS3, haven't you? Yeah, is this better than Uncharted 1, 2, tough or 3? Or is
it's
it,
a tough
or is
one.
It is a bit of an updated... I think they're very similar in play style based on my... I've only played Uncharted 1, but I felt like they were very similar in play style. You got to remember that this has 4 years of lessons learned, so it's, you know... I would say that if you want to play, if you liked this, then definitely playing Uncharted
would
be worth it.
Advice. What, my thing would be, the difference is, the main difference is, the mechanics don't change that much in Uncharted. It's just shoot, platformy stuff, cool. Tomb Raider, you get gear. It's got that Batman Arkham Asylum thing where you unlock something, and then all of a sudden, those ropes that you've been seeing wrapped around those fences are... you can interact with them. You don't get that in Uncharted. You just get platforming, combat, set piece, combat, set piece, platforming, set piece. You know, and maybe one and two more puzzles than three, but still, I mean, if you liked this, it's a no-brainer. Just play it.
Yeah, it really is. They're so similar. And I never played the original Uncharted. I played Uncharted 2
order.
And Uncharted 3.
Play them in order.
Play them in order.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. I think between Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3, Uncharted 2 probably the best.
2 is my favorite.
And Tomb Raider, I think, compares favorably to Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
Until you in single player. The multiplayer side of it, I think Tomb Raider completely missed the boat.
Yeah,
Yeah. All right, but getting back on BioShock.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe we're done talking about BioShock for now. I mean, go out, get it. It's worth getting.
Awesome.
Layered storyline, awesome. Dovetailing of the storyline is brilliant. And there's one other thing. This is for Mike as well. There's one thing that I was on about a couple of years back when we was talking, and this is now that I've played BioShock, I'm really excited for this. It's the whole thing that Rockstar are doing with Grand Theft Auto 5, this playing such a full story that's got sort of such a satisfying ending, it just made me want Grand Theft Auto 5. Having them overlapping storylines with the characters, seeing how they play out, bring it on.
You know what? I'm gonna dovetail for it. I don't know why, but I want to come back to BioShock and a Tomb Raider comparison.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that actually I think made me like Tomb Raider so far in terms of the storyline stuff a little bit more than I've been enjoying BioShock is the fact of that it's in a third-person view versus first-person view.
Yeah.
I think I genuinely am kind of really more of a third-person view person. I play plenty of first-person shooters, but... I really loved the cinematic experience that Tomb Raider gave,
I think it's the animation as well. You get sold on the animation.
Animation's great. Yeah. And I don't get that with BioShock.
No.
In fact, I believe in BioShock you don't have feet.
No, you don't. You don't have feet. There's no reflection. There's nothing that reflects you apart from the water at the start. There's some water at the start that you look into. But I don't know. I'm kind of with you, Greg. I get you. I get what you mean. I do, but like, I'll forgive something like a BioShock. You know, I'll forgive something like that. I look past that. But yeah,
I do get annoyed at not having feet. That is a very minor point, though.
Yeah, Halo 2. When I looked down at my feet in Halo 2, I was like, "Wow, my feet! That's amazing." That was a good day.
All right, let's talk about new releases this week. All right, so out this week on the Wii and the Wii U, it's the same story. Nothing. PS3 seems to be the platform with games this week. Arcania, Game of the Year Edition.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, it's the Game of the Year Edition, Mike. Maybe you should look into it. PSN games this week, Evergreen Avenue, Fatal Frame, Favorite Deer, and there's a Japanese version of that or name that I'm not going to tell you about because I can't spell it. Or say it. Guacamole comes out this week. John Daly's Pro Stroke Golf comes out this week. Mahjong Yoichi Tamagagumi comes out this week. They're just rehashing all these PS1 games. Tom Clancy's Hawks comes out. And XCOM Enemy Unknown out on PSN, so you can download it if you don't want to buy the disc. Fuel Overdose, the Mercenary Vehicle Pack, is out for DLC this week. And moving over, nothing on the Vita. Xbox 360, literally nothing as far as I can see on the horizon.
Wow.
Except for the Halo 4 Castle Map Pack comes out this week. I'm sure there is an Xbox Live Arcade game coming out this week.
It's Battle Blocks, isn't it?
That was last week.
What was it?
So, yeah, they are having a publisher sale, so who knows? It's slim pickings, though. And on PC and Mac, Age of Empires 2 HD and Cube Man 2. And wrapping up with Demolition Inc. Level and Weapon DLC, just in case you needed some more stuff for that game. And that's it for new releases.
Wow. Pretty quiet week there, Greg.
Yeah, very quiet week. But there is some news, Mike, and so we can have a news quiz.
Yay!
That's good news. Yeah.
Woo-hoo. End of the show, folks.
Fearful. We weren't going to have a news quiz this week. So this week, Mike, you are going to be playing for Ginge Ninge. Chris, you are playing for at Trans Rants.
I don't want to go off a rant here, but I'm going to.
Fraser Moles.
That's from Dennis Miller.
And Rich, you are playing for Gamox 14.
All right, Gamox.
Gamox 14.
You've just prevented me from going to the toilet. Thanks for that.
Quite welcome. This week we have 6 news questions and only 2 achievement questions. So,
is that 2 each or 2 altogether?
No, 2 total. So there's going to be some strategizing.
I'm confused. Okay.
Yeah, I take it back. There's 3 news questions or achievement questions.
Brilliant.
We have to give everybody
that makes 3. Much more sense.
Yes, it does. All right, but still, use them wisely. Don't just be frivolous with your TiVo questions. You know what I mean? Mike, you are up first.
All right.
Microsoft has sold off Media Room IPTV to which of these companies? Samsung, Ericsson, or Motorola?
Samsung.
I'm sorry, you're incorrect. Microsoft and Ericsson announced a definitive agreement for Ericsson to acquire Media Room, the number one IPTV platform. This is from their news release, of course. This acquisition is mutually beneficial and strategically aligned for both parties. Ericsson will continue to invest in the growth and success of Media Room to the benefit of customers, employees, and the industry. And it allows Microsoft to commit 100% of its focus on consumer TV strategy with Xbox. That's not foreshadowing. I don't know what is.
What does this mean?
It means that Xbox is going to be much more TV-focused for the future. Yeah. And Media Room, like the services of AT&T, those that have AT&T, that actually is all – the back end of that is Media Room.
Okay.
And so – So some interesting stuff going on there. They're shedding off some of the dead weight and just focusing in on Xbox. More importantly, Mike, because you missed that, that means Chris gets the next question. And it's going to be a news question.
Yes. Did you know something else this week, you know, to do with the media side of things?
There's all kinds of questions. And so when we get to the end of it, if Rich, we haven't gotten to your media question?
No, you're not getting to this. It's just a little insight into the old thing with the media selling off that. The survey. Does anybody do a survey for Xbox Live?
Not recently.
Absolutely every single question this month was all based around music and how you take your music, be it with Spotify and all of that stuff.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Batman Arkham Origins has been officially announced, Chris. It's said to take place several years before the previous chapters in the series, and it'll put you in the shoes of a younger Batman. And players will be able to meet many of the most important characters for the first time and even develop important relationships with them. Now, most importantly, Chris, what platforms will this be coming to? A, PC, Wii U, PS3, and Xbox 360. B, PC, Wii U, PS4, and next-gen system. C, Wii U, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Oh, there were too many choices in there.
Yeah, I lost track.
Yeah, I really did. I lost.
All right. A, PC, Wii U, PS3, Xbox 360.
PC, Wii U, PS3.
PS3. Xbox, so that's just kind of everything now.
Basically everything now.
B, PC, Wii U, PS4, and next gen system, aka next Xbox.
Okay.
Or C, Wii U, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Hmm. I'm gonna go with Charlie. Wow, dude, terrible. Too many words.
No, unfortunately, you are incorrect. It is PC, Wii U, PS3, and Xbox 360. So the answer was A.
So when's that everything coming then?
Wait, no, that was what I said.
No, you said Charlie, which was not including the PC.
Oh, yeah, damn it. Exactly. I meant to say A. I couldn't keep up with the freaking answer, dude. Seriously, that was... Whoa.
That was tough. It was not easy.
Anyway, never mind. We'll talk after.
Confusing. Yes, I know. You'll punch me in the face later.
No, I have some constructive criticism for you. That's all.
That is the F you. I have something to say, and we will talk later. All right, I will be reprimanded later.
We'll put a poll up on the website. How many of the listeners were able to keep up with all the options on that question? How many of the co-hosts?
Definitely the second time helped me.
I'm zenning out, ready for my question. You see, I won't even listen.
I was more than happy to repeat, though. You did notice.
Well,
that.
It is only a 2-hour show, Greg.
It is. All right, Rich, your question. Rock Band put out its final DLC song, Don McLean's American Pie. How many songs has Rock Band added as DLC to the title since it came out?
Jesus.
A, 4,000, B, 4,500, or C, 5,000 songs?
It's in the 4,000s. So you're saying 4,000 exactly?
4,000 exactly, 4,500 exactly, or 5,000 exactly?
4,500.
I'm sorry, you're incorrect. It's actually 4,000. They've added over 275 weeks and 4,000 songs.
Jeez.
Or over the course of 275 weeks, they've added 4,000 songs. Probably the best way to put that. Lots of music coming out from Rock Band. And probably a good reason to hang on to your current-gen console, because you never know if that's going to be available for you on the next system.
Probably not.
That means we are coming back to you, Mike.
Hello.
And, ironically, we're talking Rock Band still.
Ta-da.
Mike, Rock Band,
No.
Yeah. They had a song pack recently pulled from the stores as its license expired. Was it A, Metallica Pack 01, B, AC/DC Pack 01, or C, Guns N' Roses Pack 01?
Guns N' Roses.
Sorry, it was Metallica. Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently the licensing fee for it ran out, or licensing deal expired. But Harmonix is active in trying to keep any licensing deals in place. But if you've already bought it before, of course, you can still download it. But it's not available anymore for people to download.
It's a shame.
It is a shame.
But who cares?
All right, Mr. Matthew, the field is wide open for you.
Has anybody got anything right?
No, nobody's got anything right.
I almost got one right, but there were too many words.
all right, Chris. What game set to release in June has now been pushed back to August of 2013? Is it A, The Last of Us, B, Remember Me, or C, Lost Planet 3?
The Last of Us, Remember Me, or Lost Planet 3? Let's go with Remember Me.
I am sorry.
Due to be released in March.
Oh.
No, actually, that is set to release in June still.
Really?
as is The Last of Us. Planet 3 has been pushed to August 27th now.
I would have said The Last of Us because that's the one that I want. I'd have gone on that.
All right. Well, we are just strumming along here. Rich, you are up next.
Mm-hmm.
And your last news question, by the way, I'd just like to throw that out there.
Yeah. I need you to read something in the notes, mate, in a minute. Carry on.
Fair. All right. So, Rich, Microsoft made some major noise over the weekend with employee Adam Orth, and he took to Twitters, and he began defending the notion of an always-online device. His tweets got increasingly aggressive, and the internet basically took offense. And
that's not like the internet.
No, not like the internet at all. It culminated with comments from him like hashtag deal with it, pretty much solidifying the notion that Microsoft was going to be having some kind of always-on device. Microsoft actually issued an apology over his comments on Twitter. And they said, "We apologize for the inappropriate comments made by an employee on Twitter yesterday." The response reads, "The person is not a spokesperson for Microsoft, and his personal views do not reflect the customer-centric approach we take to our products or how we would communicate directly to our loyal customers."
But we're making an always-on console, sorry.
However, we have not made any announcements, deal with it, and our product about our product roadmap, and we have no further comment on this matter. Pound, deal with it. So, Rich, after all of that,
mm-hmm.
What's Adam's official title at Microsoft? Is it
Mr. Spokesman?
A, Director of Creative Services at Microsoft Studios? B, Creative Director at Microsoft Studios?
Oh,
or C, Director of Creative Media at Microsoft Studios?
What was the first one again?
More than happy to read through them all again for you. Director of Creative Services at Microsoft Studios? Or B, Creative Director at Microsoft Studios? Or C, Director of Creative Media at Microsoft Studios?
A.
I'm sorry. You're wrong. It is Creative Director at Microsoft Studios.
Okay. I shall be Googling that one as well.
I would if I were you. More importantly, let's just talk real quickly about all of the rumors that are coming out about the Xbox. A ton of rumors. I thought this would be a good time for us to just chat about it real quickly. There are so many rumors that have come flying out since April 1st. And some of them were out there before then, but I mean, we've got now the rumor of it having a dual APU, the rumor of it always being on. There's the always connected rumor, which they are separate, but a lot of people are intermingling them as well. It can't play offline, can't play used games, launching fall of 2013, and there's rumors saying it's launching fall of 2014. The gamepad supposedly has been largely unchanged. That's one rumor out there. There's also a rumor about the whole dev kit and controller being covered in camo stripes. I think we covered this in a news quiz way back. Launch price is now being rumored to be $500 or $300 with a subscription. There's also a rumor that in conjunction with the launch of the next Xbox, they're going to be introducing a $99 Xbox 360, which they're –
I heard it was going to be like $400 and then $300 if you want to do a subscription thing.
Right. Correct. Now, there's a $99 Xbox 360 they're talking about launching in fall as well, which a lot of people think means backwards compatibility is completely out the door because they're just going to give you a cheap Xbox 360 if you want to have your backwards compatibility. At least that's the rumors. Again, these are all rumors. The Blu-ray disc format is rumored to be there, but a lot of people are speculating that it's not going to be actually able to play Blu-ray movies,
right,
that they're not going to have the license part of that. It's a lot of craziness.
Yeah, there was the point of, like, you know, isn't Xbox Live, like, always on service anyway? But the thing that The reason why it's bad, the reason why people kick off is the used games a bit. That's the bit. Alright?
Right.
So you play games that you didn't buy from brand new, they won't work. That's what everyone's getting pissy about. Not the fact that it's always online. Like, Steam is always online, Xbox Live is always online, and what? But it's that, like, you're locking me out of the privilege of I can't borrow games anymore. I have to use brand new games. And they can't get away with it with disc games. They can only get away with downloadable stuff, really, because that's the kind of way that's the thing that we've gotten used to. They won't be able to get away with it with anything else.
The thing that pissed me off the most is, and nobody's made it clear, so it don't matter anyway, but if you turn on your Xbox and your internet's not working, and you've bought a game brand new, or you've brought a game on Xbox Live that's downloaded onto your hard drive, if you can't play that just because the internet connection's down, that's shite.
Right. There's definitely that part of the rumor. And going along with that part of the rumor, Rich, apparently one person was throwing out there that, according to a dev kit, that if you lost your internet connection for longer than 3 minutes, a troubleshooting tool would pop up and basically keep you from playing, and it would try to reconnect you up to the internet. Again, all speculation.
They've got to think they can hear people's views on this. They've got to have like some sort. I feel like we only know half of the rumors. You know, like they've got to know that people don't like this, and they've got to have some way around it that will keep people happy. Surely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's adamantly clear or abundantly clear that this is not the way Microsoft wanted this to go. I think in some ways, possibly Sony announcing first really did throw a wrench in the, into the soup.
Do you think Microsoft have left it a bit too late, like doing all this stuff? Like, do you think they should have announced something by now? Or?
I think they're kind of, I don't know. It's a tough position for them, at least from where I'm sitting and I'm looking at it. It's a rock and a hard place because, you know, one, they had their own timeline that they had set that they were going to do their launch. And Sony comes out and they do their surprise announcement out of the blue and really wow people, probably gave Microsoft some food for thought. Maybe Microsoft says, you know what, let's wait a little bit longer and retool things. But now with all of these supposed leaks happening and the reactions that are happening, I'm sure Microsoft is probably doing, in a sense, kind of an internal dance. And they're like, well, do we try and just announce it now sooner?
No, they've got a whole event ready for this.
Are we trying to maybe hold off? Because now another rumor, I should say, was originally they were talking about announcing this the new Xbox in April. At least that was the scuttlebutt. And now I believe it's Paul Thurrott, who's kind of an MS insider, said that the event now is May 21st.
Right.
And is Microsoft maybe saying, you know what, we want to distance ourselves from the really negative spin that happened on, over the weekend and in the past, like, week and a half. And just, it's kind of like a riot. If you let the animals just go crazy for a little while, eventually they're going to get tired and they're going to go away. And you have that space, and then you can have your announcement with a little more clear thought.
It's not just the only disquiet that you're seeing as well. I mean, Mike said this before. Microsoft are the masters at marketing as far as, consoles.
They're so good at it.
They're so good at it. And they may have missed a trick, but from what he was hearing over the podcast where they were doing coverage of GDC, there's a lot of disquiet amongst the actual developers as well, because I don't think they've got dev kits, but because they haven't got like final specs and stuff like that, obviously things to do with like submissions for approvals of games, I think there's a lot of unrest with them guys as well, because they've been talking, off the record with all of these podcasting correspondents that are there, and it doesn't seem like they're happy either. So it's not just the Twitter riot that's going off. There's other things going on behind the scenes. And the other thing is as well, I know we're saying that they might be a bit upset because Sony announced first. Well, when Sony said they were going to do that press conference in February, I can remember all of the outlets were saying, yeah, you know, Microsoft are just sitting back. They're just waiting to see what Sony have got to say for themselves. And in general, the response that Sony got from that conference, when you listen to the podcast and stuff, was it was sort of indifferent, really. And now
right.
we're giving Sony, we're saying here when we're talking now, we're saying, yeah, they've got, you know, they've made Microsoft drop the ball. Well, they've made Microsoft drop the ball by not doing that much, really, if you think about it.
Well, you know, I read an interesting response up on, I think it was NeoGAF, and they were talking about all of this. And one of the posters up there said, you know, the reality is that Microsoft really, you know, as much as we think they're in a bad spot, they're really not, because the majority of consumers, even except for maybe the hardcore Sony fanboy, you know, he's locked in on the PS4. But any other hardcore gamer is probably still sitting on the fence saying, I want to see what Microsoft puts out first.
Yeah.
Regardless of rumors, I'll make my mind up once I see everything.
Yeah.
They're still on the fence.
And this is what I say about Sony. Anyone that says, oh, Sony did it right, Sony. And yeah, so far, like, everything we know about the PS4 sounds great. Like, it sounds like they actually listen. But this is what I always say. We only know what they want us to know.
Also true.
We don't know how long it takes to update, for example. We don't know how long all the problems. They won't come out and say, oh, by the way, yeah, you still have to update every game and it's a bother and the PlayStation Network will go down and all your accounts will be hacked again. Sorry about that. They wouldn't come out and say that because they don't know.
Well, so. Let's be honest. I mean, no company would be coming out and saying any of that.
No, of course not. Of course not. But what
saying, hey, it's going to red ring in 3 weeks.
What I'm getting at is that press conference was so tidy and so scripted that, of course, they're going to look good because you only know what they told you. They told you everything that they want you to know. It's just be wary is all I'm thinking.
Well, and I think this just goes back to, I think there still is a vast majority of potential consumers that they haven't made up their minds. They're still
haven't. I'd go either way, to be honest.
Nor me.
Chris, you've been awfully quiet on this whole topic.
He doesn't care.
We're doing a lot of speculation, and that's all. That's what we do. I still just don't put a lot of faith in this no used games rumor. It seems to me from a business standpoint that if that's where they want to go, there's a lot of ways to get there without making a lot of people really mad. Like just going to a more, you know, slowly moving everything towards a download model. But then again, you know, we talk a lot about, well, they've got to know people don't like this and they got to know people don't like that. They do, but they also know that most of us are going to buy whatever they put out anyway. Especially people like we're the exception when it comes to gamers. We're relatively informed consumers. You know, us and our listeners are kind of the exception. A lot of people are just going to go buy whatever they put out because it's the newest and coolest and they can do whatever they want. So
I've got a question.
Until we start voting with our money, then we get what we get.
Chris, Steam, if you switch off the internet, can you play your games still or not?
Yes, that's the thing. People keep talking about Steam and always on, but you know, we had the internet was out here the other day, and I was able to play all the games in my Steam library, no problem.
Yeah, that's
Steam does have the ability to play offline.
Yeah,
yeah. I wouldn't have the. That's the thing. If that's what Microsoft looking at going more digital and having more and getting it all down on your hard drive and you can play it, that's fair play. I'm not bothered.
It's
about
the used games though. That's the thing. It's the used games.
Well, there's the used game
that's
portion
what's gonna
of
upset
it.
Everyone.
The always on, the always connected. A lot of people hear these terms and it strikes a little bit of fear in some gamers' minds. Specifically, anybody that just, you know, all they do is buy used games. They've got to be absolutely, you know, white knuckled about the thought of used games will not work on a system. I mean, my gut tells me the next Xbox, the always on functionality is going to be part of the DVR functionality. We know Microsoft is very interested in the TV aspect of a console, a gaming console. They want to be that center hub entertainment piece for the entire living room. Your DVR is on all the time. It's always connected. So From that standpoint, if they're building a machine to take the place of that, it makes sense that it would be always on and always connected. That doesn't mean it has to be always on online and always connected to the internet in order for you to play games. It could very well be segmented out. And that's where I think a lot of people are jumping to conclusions about things we just don't know yet. But
does that worry anybody as well about the game side of it? Where, you know, how many Microsoft studios are there really that are releasing games? And is that because they're taking all of that focus possibly off that with all of this shift towards making it a media hub? Does that worry anybody?
Or do you no, think,
cause
I,
it's going to be because it's going to be so universal between the PS4 and the Xbox with the architecture. It's going to be that easy for devs to bring out games for everything, and it doesn't really matter anyway.
I'm not too worried about it because I think they know that games are the bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do screw up, then somebody else will know that they screwed up, like PlayStation, and they'll fill in. I'm not loyal to Microsoft, is what I'm saying. Like, I'll switch over gladly if it's right. You know.
And I'm right there with you, Mike. I think if Microsoft really does put out a system that isn't going to be a game friendly system. And it really just feels like it's a big DVR, then, you know, the PS4 certainly so far has looked very attractive to me from a gaming standpoint. And who knows? The PC next to me is saying, hey,
no,
you need to update.
No, no.
I am pretty confident I will never build my own PC, though. That's one thing I can say pretty confidently. All right, well, let's get back into the news quiz. Jesus, because... you guys, it's tied up. 0000 or 0000. Yeah. Lots of zeros.
Did you look at my argument in the conversation there, Greg, about my first question?
No, I have not. Not looked at your arguments.
You need to check back on your first question, mate. The 4,000 songs.
Yeah. 4,000 tracks. That's what it was reported at.
Quote from the Escapist magazine.
Okay, quote from the Escapist magazine.
The rock band catalogue has swelled well beyond 4,000 tracks.
Well, they indicated 4,000 tracks that were DLC. Now, it could be the rock band catalogue, including the games themselves, is beyond 4,000. But per Harmonix, they said 4,000 tracks. So that's all I'm saying.
It's out.
Regardless... you still said 4,500, and it was wrong.
That could be considered to be well beyond 4,000. Nevertheless, carry on.
Instead, we're just going to move to achievement questions, because I like achievement questions. So everybody's going to get one, and then depending on where we're at, well, hey. All right, Mike, your achievement question. I'm just going to go in order that I see them here. So, Mike, you're up first. Your achievement question is Weaponsmith. Customize a weapon. And again, these are games that are relatively in, you know, recent gaming past.
Tomb Raider.
No, Operation Flashpoint Red River.
My motherfucker.
Rich.
I have to protest, Greg.
Yes.
I think that's in a lot of games.
I don't doubt that Weaponsmith customize a weapon might be in a lot of games. However, it was in...
That don't mean shit to Greg, Chris.
Hashtag deal with it, Greg.
Hashtag deal with it.
What if Mike had said, for instance, Fallout 3, which it happens to be in Fallout 3?
If Mike had played Fallout 3 in the past, say, I don't know, month?
Ever?
Maybe.
Oh, are these all in the past month? Okay.
Yeah, these are... And also... You know, Fallout 3 is not a game he's played. He's only played, is it Fallout? Did you play the original Fallout, Mike? Fallout 3?
Probably. No. All right. I thought you played Fallout 3. My bad.
All right. Rich, Down and Dirty, 15 finishers performed.
15 finishers?
Finishers performed.
Hmm. There's finishes in both the new games that I've played. Could it be well beyond? I'll go for... I don't think you do it because it's Johnny Obvious, so therefore I think you double bluff him, mate. I'm going to go for Bioshock Infinite.
I'm sorry, it's Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
I'm going to call your bluff again, Greg.
Yes.
Because that's also an achievement in Call of Duty Black Ops, which Skulldug ever played.
Well, Call of Duty Black Ops is not a game he's played in the past.
I'm just saying, Greg. I'm just saying.
I'm going off of recent activity.
Your questioning technique is flawed. That's all I'm saying.
Mr. Matthew.
This whole news quiz is under protest.
The monkeys are rebelling.
Yeah, exactly. The monkeys are rebelling. Remember, this is for the fans, not for you and your pride.
That's my whole point, Greg. 0-0-0.
I know, but people are laughing. Trust me, they're laughing. Your achievement, Mr. Matthew. Picky, loot 200 enemies.
I'm about to go recent activity, Tomb Raider.
You would be correct.
Fuck.
Yay!
You won.
With one question. I feel so special that I got one question right.
But more importantly, TransRants just got 100 Microsoft points.
Congratulations, TransAtlantic
and the
Rants.
Stability.
Hey, Origin, speaking of TransRants.
Possibly to win more.
Hey, hold on. Speaking of TransRants.
Hold on.
I sent you a message, bro. Message me back so I can figure out when I'll be on your show. Okay, done.
All right. Now to the gaming description theater for the extra.
Yeah, this is going
to
be good.
I'm so going to stab you.
This is, again, recent released game.
Blank,
okay?
Blank, blank.
All right, blank, here we go.
Blank, blank.
The blank, diddy blank, blank, blank.
This is a blank shooter in which players assume the role of a mercenary salvager in a post-apocalyptic world. Players use laser pistols, machine guns, sniper rifles, and rocket launchers to kill various alien creatures, robots, and human characters.
This is bullshit.
The frenetic combat is accompanied by realistic gunfire / explosions, screams of pain, and blood splatter effects. Some attacks include sniper scope depictions of headshots. Bloodstains often remain in the environment for long periods of time. During the course of the game, characters sometimes engage in suggestive / sexual dialogue, e.g., they were raping our POWs and eating our women. Meet them and we risk seeing our men executed or women raped and our children indoctrinated. He'll get up close and personal with the tramp and feel things out. What game is this?
And this has come out recently, has it?
Yes.
Okay. Third person shooter. Mercenary salvager.
Google faster. Google
no.
faster.
I got a new loud keyboard, so I can't Google things anymore because of the loud keyboard. Right? It was for you. It was for you.
I appreciate that.
I did that. So I'm trying to think of things that might have included salvaging and mercenaries.
What's that game that came out last week?
Have I played this game?
Well, that would be potentially a giveaway.
Oh, yeah, I guess I haven't played very many games lately, have I? I'm trying TransRants.
I'm sure there are a few people on the podcast listening to this as we speak, screaming into the radio.
They're probably yelling like it's that obvious.
I don't know if it's that. Well, it might be. It might be.
Third person mercenary salvager in the future.
Killing various alien creatures, robots, and human characters.
Aliens, robots. It's not. We've already done Dead Space 3. No, it's not Dead Space 3. It's not Dead Space 3. I haven't a clue. Dead Space 3.
Defiance.
I give you a clue, man.
Yeah, Rich was trying to throw you a bone. Yeah. I didn't say anything. He threw it out there. Yeah, it came out last week.
I didn't hear what he said. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's all right. Still, you know, Transparency, they won some points.
Yeah.
Nothing ashamed of there.
I will hand it to you, Greg. Really, you didn't remove, you did leave enough words in there for me to at least know what the hell was going on, so I'll do that.
I've been trying to be much better about the blankety blanks. No one wants to listen to a podcast full of blankety blanks.
Yeah, that's why no one listens to this podcast.
No one listens. Some do.
No one says that.
Where am I? We're doing some kind of show break thing, and we're coming back. We're talking about the question of the week, which ironically is about prequels, which we were kind of talking about with the Batman game, and kind of what you think about prequels.
I think that's coincidentally, Greg.
It's coincidentally, yes. Ironically, it's probably.
But it was the Gears of War, God of War thing.
I heard your name once before, Desmond, a long time ago, and now it lingers in my mind. Like an image from an old dream. I do not know where you are, or by what means you can hear me. But I know you are listening.
Back from the break, and breaking news impacting the news quiz. So Rich, during the break, took the due diligence and fighting for his person, Gamox 14, and he said, I'm going to look up the Rock Band DLC. And apparently the news site that I pulled the story from was wrong. And Rich, you absolutely are justified in that it was, in fact, 4,254 songs. And just because it's on the other side of the 250, well, let's face it, just we like Gamox 14. We're going to give him 100 points, too.
Sorry, Jinj Ninja. I protested all the questions I asked as well, and I'm just stupid. So sorry about that.
But fear not, Ginger Ninja, you could be, you know, we'll cycle you back into the mix. You're going to come back up again sometime. But yeah, no, so Gamox 14 and Transrance both going to get some points. Everybody wins.
Apart from Ginger Ninja.
Sorry, Ginger Ninja.
Sorry, mate.
All right, question of the week. Prequels, love them, hate them. Do you feel prequels are a good idea for games? Now, I have to say, before this week, I was kind of against prequels. I'm not, especially prequels coming on the heels of a trilogy. I feel like you should have been able to tell the story you wanted to tell in the span of three games. So God of War and Gears of War, even though they're solid games, I'm just, from the story aspect of it,
you're out of ideas, solutions.
Yeah, it does, to me at least, feel like you're a bit out of ideas. That all said, Batman Arkham, you know, Origins kind of like got to me a little bit when I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, they could actually make a halfway decent prequel
and
out of that.
Gears of War Judgment, apart from all the declassification thing, I really enjoy kind of looking back and seeing what Bear got up to and stuff. So I haven't played God of War yet, but yeah.
But see, for me, it's like it's an opportunity, especially with Batman, to bring back characters that we really like, and it makes sense. So the Joker, I am sure, is going to be a big part of Batman Arkham Origins. And that, to me, makes sense. And I would totally invite that. Seeing how that relationship started, that conflict, how it first began.
And, like, Batman in Arkham City and Asylum, like, there's the woman in the wheelchair, I forgot, like, a kind of character name, but she was Batwoman, right, in the comics. Mm-hmm. And then I think she has an accident or something. Forgive me if I'm murdering this, but something goes wrong and she turns into kind of like Batman's kind of like sidekick at the base. Whereas mm-hmm. in this, she could totally be Batwoman.
Right.
And
you're walking.
So, yeah. You know, it feels like, but in Arkham Asylum, that shit has already happened. You know, this is a mature Batman. He's kind of master of his craft. He knows what he's doing. Whereas right. this is kind of like, hey, you know, a bit more insight to what he got up to before.
Yeah, they're at least from, I don't know, my point of view, I guess Batman, it seems like they have good reasoning to go back and do a prequel.
And it just feels, again, they're out of ideas. A little bit.
In some ways, yeah, because it's like, well, we could make another Batman game, or we could go back and use all the characters we know everybody loves and put them in a prequel.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I guess, one of the things why I wasn't a big fan of the Gears of War prequel, or even the God of War prequel, because it's like, Kratos is dead. Well, what are we going to do? We can bring him back.
Spoilers, man. Spoilers.
You know, it
was God of War 3.
I haven't finished it yet.
Sorry.
You know,
ruined it for me.
You know the announcement.
No,
for
Rich,
the
can't speak.
The Batman game.
Yeah.
Is it? There's no gameplay or screenshots been released, is there?
Just a logo.
Isn't that a bit? Don't you think they're probably going to change the whole style of it?
Apparently it's going to be a more Silver Age style, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I doubt they'll change it. Like in terms of like the game mechanics. Terribly much because it's been so successful.
The look of it. Yeah.
And maybe to Batman's credit, this is going to be the third game in the series, not the fourth game in the series.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be set in what, the 60s or 70s or something. That would be cool.
Yeah. But I don't know, Rich or Chris. I mean, what do you guys, prequels? Do you have any?
I'm all right with prequels. I'm not sold really one way or the other.
Let me ask you this.
I'm not for them or against them.
I like it if it's clever, if it's got a few like interactions with characters you see later on that you wouldn't have expected and stuff like that.
Well, let me ask you this, and maybe this is kind of, it's splitting hairs, but prequel or reboot?
I prefer the reboot.
Yeah,
because the thing that I did enjoy, to some extent, the Star Wars prequels, but it also was kind of like, I know what's going to happen. The thing that made the Star Trek reboot, which I believe came out in 2009, so successful, was they basically took everything that you knew about Star Trek and said, forget all that, we're starting over. And so I thought that was really good. So I'm more of a fan of
it. It didn't really,
reboot.
Though, did it? Because it gave you that alternative timeline thing, which was a workaround of everything that happened in the show happened, but this is a different
timeline. But now going forward, we're in a different timeline. So
I thought it was a nice way of going, like, we're not ignoring the show, but we're our own thing, which I think was a brilliant workaround.
And actually, Chris, you just reminded me of one of the things I kind of took exception with Gears of War, is that the weapons in the prequel feel way cooler and better than the weapons in the third game.
And that's going to happen. It was the same way with Halo Reach. There were some weapons.
Right.
You know, Halo Reach had jetpacks and all this other stuff that wasn't in, and they put a little, oh, well, we lost it when the blah, 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 blah. And the same thing happened, and I'm going back to the Star Wars prequels. You know, the holographic walls that they were using to communicate with each other were, you know, light years beyond anything that they had in the original trilogy because they just couldn't produce the effects, you know? Instead of a grainy image of the Emperor, as Darth Vader comes out of his sensory deprivation chamber or whatever, you know, it's this liquid display
And there was no orange and green buttons and stuff.
They were missing
that stuff.
So. Mm. Yeah. It was one of the things I remember thinking about with Gears of War. It was just like, you know, they have that sniper rifle that, you know, it's basically a semi-automatic sniper rifle that, you know, it's badass. And that weapon, it's like, where did it go?
It was, you're talking about Gears of War?
Yes.
The explanation on that was it's a Russian weapon.
Ah.
Right.
And
right.
The guy that used it is Russian, and the Russians were at war with the Cogs. So he was fighting the Cogs before that. Before the E-Day. So I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Great. I know it's stupid, but they're trying. They're trying.
I know. Yeah, it. I get they're trying to explain it away, but I mean that to me feels pretty thin because
Gears of War just frustrate me. You're
using those weapons all the time.
They have a Russian version of the boomer in Gears of War Judgment called the Bushka, which is slightly racist. Right. no, it's not. It's just such a. It's so strange that all these retro lancers pop up everywhere. But they never, there's never to be seen in 1 and 2. And, you know, grinders. Never saw a grinder in Gears of War 1. But.
True. And what about the raging.
The Rager.
Ragers. In Gears of War Judgment, this new breed of locust suddenly appears.
It's like a thin
back in time.
You shoot it, and it goes red and 10 times bigger and just runs straight at you. And it's.
Yeah. It's kind of like the in-between step of the Berserker and a regular Locust. But anyway, so I think I'm with Chris, though. I'd rather see reboots to prequels. I'd rather see them reboot the story and put it fresh and maybe put some new ideas to it versus just seeing a prequel trying to kind of fit some new content out there because they need a game.
Mm.
Any thoughts?
I'm with you.
I wouldn't want them to reboot Gears, though, for some reason. I don't know why. It doesn't always work.
It's too soon.
It feels a little fresh. Yeah, it feels a little too soon.
You know, so I've seen some reboots that are coming out. Like, I liked the last Spider-Man movie, but it was less than 10 years since the last time we rebooted the Spider-Man franchise. Yeah. You know, now there's already talk of another Batman reboot, and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Reboot Perfect Dark Zero. That's a franchise. I think they could reboot that and make it a fantastic game.
Give it to somebody.
They could also screw it up again.
Yeah, worthy of giving it a shot, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's a good game, but no one can make it.
Yeah. All right. Let's find out what the community had to say. Mr. Matthew, if you could jump on to the gaming for the elderly stuff, I will. I'll take on the lousy gaming.
Yeah, you will.
Sponsor. Yeah. And in the meantime, Rich, you should be looking up tweets. Mike, just sit there and look pretty.
Sweet.
Mike is already failing.
Already failing.
Oh.
What's the name of those creatures in Mass Effect?
Huh?
Oh, the ones that talk like this.
Yeah.
Oh, the Elcor? Yes.
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 All right.
So, speaking of Elcor, Shinyverse says, no, I can't stand prequels, for the most part, anyways. Questioningly, why? Because I know what's going to happen. My favorite prequel was Halo Reach with great
trepidation.
That
was a good prequel, yeah.
And guess what? I already knew how it was going to end before I played it.
Mm.
I like being surprised by stories and games, and prequels, simply can't do that. Steve-O-Matic, not a fan of prequels, but the most recent ones have been entertaining. I would rather just see a reboot instead of a prequel used for a reboot. Like Shiny, though, I don't like that prequels have to have a set ending, which kind of kills the fun. Spock says, I get very upset, more than I should, when I hear someone talk about a movie I want to see and they basically blurt out the ending, or if you're inundated by the media with info about an upcoming film. Star Wars is a perfect example of the problem. When I heard Lucas was making prequels, I got excited. But then every other commercial on TV had footage of the upcoming films, and not just the regular movie trailer adverts, but several symbols, commercials for KFC and Taco Bell too. Don't forget Pizza Hut was part of that as well. I couldn't, and there's a story behind that. Never mind, we don't have time. I couldn't, there is no time. Let me sum up. I couldn't even go to Taco Bell because there were giant cardboard cutouts of the characters, pictures of them on the cups, and a bunch of other damn swag. Then they were all.
He was on lockdown.
Yeah, and then there were all of the ads for the toys over the media. Damn! Spoiler. I saw a white-gray cyborg in these ads, and for a little while I thought maybe it was a prototype suit for Vader before he got his final humanoid black suit, but it was actually General Grievous. I was excited to see Star Wars episodes 1 through 3, but yes, it was quite a downer that I knew how it would all end. I suppose this... I posted this Star What order a while ago. There's a link here, but the listeners can't follow it. Let me follow it for you. Click. It's a link to another post.
Okay.
That talks about what order you should watch the Star Wars films in. And that was actually a pretty good post, but we don't have time. It discusses what order a Star Wars version should watch films in. I have a few faves. But if one watches them in numerical order, then certain OMG moments are spoiled. For example, if you watch 1, 2, 3, then 4, 5, 6, you spoil the greatest jaw dropper that no one ever saw coming. I am your father. And contrary-wise, watching 4, 5, 6, and then 1 through 3 is also spoiled because you already know what happens. So no real way to win, I suppose. That doesn't mean it was I was uninterested in seeing 1 through 3. I was still excited. What I'd rather see is panquils or interquils. Movies that take place amid, abreast, or between the established films. For instance, Shadows of the Empire. For those that don't know, Shadows of the Empire was a book and a video game set in between episodes 5 and 6. Of the original Star Wars trilogy. These portray stories that happened while our regular protagonists were doing their thing. We get to see events from another viewpoint and watch stories that happen to other folks. What about a post-quill, which I believe is just called a sequel? And there's a poster here of a bunch of all the people from the Star Wars franchise looking very old. the original people, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford, and Billy Dee Williams. They make these geriatric buzzards look younger, better than they actually do in current real life. So instead of gaming for the elderly, it's sequeling for the elderly. Ha! Edit just noticed this game was about... Wait, sorry. Edit just noticed this question was about game prequels. Ha! My opinion is very similar about game prequels too, except if it's an open sandbox, then the story could possibly be different. If the original game was super fun slash cool, then whatever is made next, sequel or prequel, will have a lot to live up to. So basically, there was a whole lot of information there, followed by a brief never mind. thank you, Spock. Teflon 12 says, I'm generally not excited for prequels, but I have no real problem with them in general. What usually happens with prequels is that the devs slash publisher have already milked a franchise or trilogy to death and then come up with the idea to make a prequel instead of trying to do another sequel. And it just never really turned out well. If someone makes a good prequel, then that might change my perspective a little, Halo Reach. However, I don't mind them telling a story in the same universe that happened before the events of the franchise or trilogy. This is what happens when we have a question of the week that lasts for 2 weeks. Nick Nitrous says, I don't mind prequels, really, as long as it's a good story. It doesn't even bother me if I know how it's going to end. It's the journey, man. I enjoy seeing how they get there. Just look at the upcoming Hobbit films. Everyone knows how they end, but that won't stop them being awesome films. No, but a lot of other things will.
Will stop me from watching them.
Yes. Woody says, prequel, sequel, whatever. Don't care as long as the game is good. I think the problem with Gears / God of War isn't the fact they are sequel prequels so much as they are one sequel too many and that this long generation is drawing to a close. If God of War was on the PS4, there would be a lot less meh associated with it. Mark 035 says, to me, prequel tends to mean, ah, hell, we seem to have run out of ways to make money from this franchise.
Bank.
Rogue Spear says it all depends on the game. I would love a prequel to be done for Splinter Cell before Sam Fisher joined Third Echelon. Sam's backstory is referenced in Splinter Cell books, where he served in the United States Navy Special Warfare Development Group, otherwise known as SEAL Team 6. So that might be interesting. Contract Killer says, I usually avoid remakes, reboots, and the like, but last year both Dread and Total Recall won me over.
I heard both. Dread was pretty good, actually.
I haven't seen it. Total Recall was all right.
So, all right.
But those were reboots.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a sense.
It got let down by the motorbikes. Didn't have the beefy tied motorbikes.
Total Recall was just I don't know. We can talk semantics all day.
Reimagining.
It's hard to reboot a franchise that only had one movie before to begin with. But forget about it.
Good point.
Total Recall won me over. Both were far from perfect, but both were decent enough to warrant my 8-pound cinema visit. I'm losing sleep over the upcoming RoboCop reboot. RoboCop needs warranty work. As the original is my all-time favorite flick. And from the stills I have seen so far, it looks like Crisis more than RoboCop. I shall wait and see. You are breaking the law. Okay. I'm now tired. It's someone else's turn.
Okay. Going over to Lousy Gaming, we had a few responses. So GamerGirl127, she threw out, I think they're a good idea. It gives some idea of how the character got to be the way they are currently. Why/how did Lara Croft become the kick hee-haw Tomb Raider she is? How did Solid Snake become the stealth master he is? That sort of thing. I think handled properly, prequels are a great thing. So there's a little bit of kind of intermixing reboot and prequel in her statement there. But, you know, she's for him. The real Defoe, for me, it depends on the series. If it's a cheap attempt to extend a franchise, i.e. Gears of War, I'm not such a big fan. But if it's a nice fresh start, i.e. Tomb Raider, Mikey likes. And he says, well, Defoe anyway. Then we heard from Speed Limit 7. He said, a good idea if well executed gives the player the opportunity to delve deeper into the genesis of that character and their motivations. And let's see, Blood Panther chimed in saying, for me, I'm fine with them if they actually give us something worthwhile, some worthwhile information on the character. I don't like prequels that do little to tell us about the characters that lead the franchise, because they are pretty much a waste of time at that point. So I guess I agree with Defoe and Speed. So, it seems at least over at, Lag, they definitely are pretty pro-prequel as long as it's handled well, which I suppose goes without saying. I mean, if it's a crappy game, nobody's going to like the prequel. Mr. Primrose, I don't think we had any responses to the question of the week on Twitter.
No, not really.
But,
there was just
there was a
plug that got shoo-ined to do with the fact that we did a short podcast last week. So Gary DeFelice, you've just been saying, but if this week's OC podcast was not long enough for you, get more CP Matthew on Lousy at Podcasting.
That's right.
Episode 17.
And tune into the Lousy at Podcasting and listen to me try to maintain my sanity with Instant Dead Meat and the Real Defoe.
I feel your pain.
Have you been on the Lousy at Podcasting show, Skull?
No. It just
I tuned in one week and it was Greg. I tuned in another, it was Chris, and then I listened to the Transatlantic Rants, and it was you. I thought, fuck me.
Well, you know, Mike, you've set such a prime, you know, such an example.
Yeah, everybody's like, man, Mike's on like 7 podcasts. We got to catch up.
Exactly. And since the Gamesmen haven't put out a podcast, hint, 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 in forever.
Oh, that's not nice.
Yeah. No, I'm talking to Dan. Come on, Heart the Dan.
JSS Lifelike is now playing Guild Wars 2, apparently. Being a dad isn't too challenging for him.
Kid sleeping.
I got this.
Time to play games. All right. Well, that does it for the question of the week. Let's talk next week's question. And that is going to kind of piggyback on the conversation we were having about the next Xbox rumors. But both consoles have been basically rumored to not have backwards compatibility through the hardware. So the question is, how important is that to you? Is backwards compatibility really an important piece of the puzzle? Well, I think we've talked about it in the past, but I figured with the new announcement coming up, so you know, on the horizon for the new Xbox and the rumors swirling around about it not having backwards compatibility now at all, and we know the PS4 doesn't have it through the hardware. They may try and sell it to you through Gaikai or something, but they don't have it in the hardware.
All right.
I figured it was relevant to bring back up. And with that said, let's play a jingle.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Okay, so what's going on in the community? Lots going on in the community. And in no way am I stalling for time. we have Halo on Friday. No more on Monday because everyone hates Monday. Even Master Chief hates Monday. 8 p.m. Yeah. in the British time. There is Forza 4 on Friday with Carn Edge 93. But you'll have to check the forums for times.
Yeah. And by the way, that Halo this Friday,
yeah,
you want to check that out because my guess is there's going to be a mech match in that Halo game.
Mech match.
Yeah. I finished my map, and Shinyverse has it. So
nice. Looks like the F1 championship has ended, but soon the movie car championship will be beginning. So check out the G4TE forums and sign up if you want to take place. It sounds like a pretty fun little tournament. They've got a bunch of cars that are based off of famous cars from various movies and television shows, and everyone's going to get one assigned at random every week, and they get to drive that. So you might find yourself driving what was the VW Bug? Herbie one day.
Nice.
The next day you might be driving the Starsky and Hutch car, or you might be driving the kit car, or who knows. So have a good time. And I think the penalty for winning is they have a car with lots of flowers on it that has the tire pressure let down, so you have to drive that one the next time. which is good. We did that with the last Forza 4.
That's awesome.
When we did the Minis Championship, there were the top three finishers of each race. In the next race, they had to drive these E-Type Jaguars, like the ones from Austin Powers, that were pretty quick but didn't handle very well, so it made it a bit of a challenge. Anyway, good fun. Check that out. Hot lap challenging for Forza 4 going down. Minecrafting is going down. Black Ops 2 cladding is going down. Halo 4 tournament is going down.
Actually,
is it over? No, it's not.
I think the playoffs are going right now, but it's pretty much coming to a close.
The U.S. playoffs haven't begun yet. I heard him say that on the Lousy at Podcasting, but they will be beginning soon. XCOM tournament is still happening. Rich is going down.
Yes. Buttoned RC went down.
Yeah. The veteran gamers are going to be doing a little Team Fortress 2 on the old Steams. So check that out. That's on Sunday at 6 p.m.
Mike, how can you not be playing poker?
I don't know. I bought it for 1 week and then I didn't play.
Yeah. Lousy at Gaming has got a NASCAR league going, and they're looking for drivers. Friday NASCAR the Game Inside Line. They're doing some Friday night bash-ups with that, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you want to trade some paint, go pick you up NASCAR the Game Inside Line. And Ensign Dead Meat will run you off the track. I understand that's what he's good at. They call him the Lag Tardinator because he wrecks everybody.
They love their NASCAR, don't they? All the Lazy at Gaming.
Yes. Yes, they do.
They enjoy that.
Happy birthday this week to John Valtex and Junior, and welcome to the new members Tom the Terrible and Blood Panther. Yes, welcome. Congratulations to the victories this week. John Mouse finished Tomb Raider. PG Tips finished Gears of War Judgment. Phil Thee finished Saints Row the Third. Mark Henix finished Bioshock Infinite and Gears of War Judgment. Amherst 89 finished Bioshock Infinite. Parson Knows 3000 finished Gears of War Judgment. Kern 456 finished Bioshock Infinite. Kyonoyokan? Sure. finished Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Teflon 212 finished Gears of War Judgment. And Skull Duggar doesn't get any credit because you forgot to send a picture. you forgot me, Greg. I finished Tomb Raider.
Well, I didn't forget you. Shinyverse hasn't sent in a new updated list for this week. So these actually are from about a week back.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's probably even more.
Well, congratulations again to everyone who I just congratulated for the second time. The second time. Again, if you finish a game, take a picture. It must include your countenance and some proof of having finished the game. And you have until the 30th of this month to get in for this contest, and then we start again.
And we don't have any spotlight or anything like that, so
no
we can just keep
field
on
correspondence
going.
This week. So if you would if you would like to, well, you should check out the Indie Writers Block if you want to talk about that. This week, I threw up a recipe for some quick and easy ham sandwiches. What else is going on the old IWBs?
We have the beta look of Defiance up there. For those that were curious about the game, you can get in a quick look on that if you want. Mike and I are going to be putting up something for the Walking Dead Survival Instinct.
Walking Dead.
We have yet to put the final touches on that. And I believe John Mouse just put something up with a retro gaming feel. I think it was an old classic game he was talking about. It was, I will tell you what it is in short time.
I sent a recipe.
Well, you sent a recipe to us for us to, to have Chris throw up onto the Gamer's Grill. Because Chris is in charge of the Gamer's Grill. It's not me, guys. Okay. It is Chris. Chris is the grill master.
I see. I'm taking the blame. I got it.
No. There's no blame to be had. You now have a recipe from Skulldogger to be put into the Gamer's Grill.
I need to check it out. I haven't checked it. But I will check.
It was John Mouse. He put up a little article, Who Remembers War Games? And so it was an old PlayStation title based off the movie. And, there's fun stuff like that to be had up on the old IWB. If you want to get your writings up there, just contact Shinyverse, Jay Schumacher over at the G4TE.com community. And, he's more than happy to take anybody on. Just make sure you know how to spell and... have some kind of grammatical sense. That's why I do everything.
Some kind.
iTunes reviews. We'll check them again someday.
Someday.
We do want them, so maybe we should check them more often. But if you could leave us an iTunes review, it really helps us get seen. So the more iTunes reviews, the better. Currently, the UK is kicking the US's ass on iTunes reviews. Yeah. So, Buttoned RC, if you're listening to this, even though I just gave you a hard time about, me taking you out in XCOM, give us a favorable review. Or talk badly about me, but still give us a good review. And anybody else that's, listening and saying, God, I should give these guys a review because they're nice guys.
Yeah. Or you could just email us and tell us how good we are at ocpodcast@gmail.com.
You could do that.
Yeah. You could tweet it at @OC_podcast.
Yeah, you can do that too.
You could call us at 626-506-2763.
Sure, you can do that.
Yeah, and if you want to be represented in the news quiz at which we all excelled today, just tweet tweet # OC podcast play Misty for me, all one word. And then with the three characters you have remaining after that, type us a snarky comment.
You could also do that.
You could also do that.
All right, shout outs. Rich Primrose.
I'm gonna wait.
You're gonna wait
for Rich.
You sure?
Yeah, it's his turn.
Yeah, Rich cleared his throat. He has something to say.
Yeah.
Are you sure he just didn't get to mute?
It's also a possibility.
Hello.
Hello, Rich.
Hello. Yes. I'd like to shout out Tuscan77, Steffi Business, and Turtle502 for the Twitter chat this week. And then I'm also going to shout out a documentary film, which Mike might like this because the subject. It's called Exit Through the Gift Shop. Don't know if you've seen it, Mike.
No, I have not.
Okay, it's basically the story of a video documentary maker who's French, who basically just can't stop filming stuff. He lives in LA. He's got a shop, and he videos everything. Videos everyday life just all the time, and he hoards everything in a box. And then basically he goes back to France for a visit, and his nephew is doing graffiti, like cool mosaic graffiti of Space Invaders. And his tag is Space Invaders, so he's planting these things all over Paris. So then that becomes his focus, and he just goes back to America and just hunts down street artists and follows them and documents it. And it's all about how he gets on with all of the community of people that do street art. And it was fascinating and very inspiring. And it's got a guy called Banksy in it. Have you heard of Banksy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Everybody's heard of Banksy.
Yeah. No, you've not heard of him. Well, anyway,
he's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, he does really... Well, he's completely anonymous. So he basically broke into the Tate Gallery and made a load of portraits on frames and planted them in the Tate Gallery. So he had, like, famous portraits where instead of having the figure's face, he put a gas mask on them, and they looked like proper oil paintings. So nobody sussed it. Anyway, it's very good, and I'd recommend anybody watches it. Really good. Really, really good. And another last shout-out, and this is game-related, I want to shout out Haggling. So, I've been doing a bit of trading in and stuff at the moment.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's because the shops are feeling the pinch and so on. So, here's a for instance for you. Went into Game yesterday, and Game are offering £25 trading for Bioshock Infinite. And you go back in today, and they were trying to offer £15 because Tuesday's release date, and obviously it must drop by £10. And I think they appear to be wanting everybody's custom at the moment. They are desperate to keep everybody in there. So upon protesting and haggling, got the full value for it straight after. And then earlier on in the weekend, because I was buying birthday presents for our lad, because we'd seen prices on the internet for Skylanders and stuff like that, as long as you can show it them, they'll price match anything. So just be wary of that. You know, your supermarket prices and the fact that you can use a reward card in game. Yeah.
Rich, was it really you that haggled the price back, or was it your wife?
My wife did the Skylanders.
All right, you handled the game, though.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Your wife probably would have got you more money.
Probably would. Yeah.
I heard she's a demon in the stores.
Yeah. She's vicious. Yes. So.
All else fails, send the wife.
Mike, what you got?
I'd share the Lazy at Gaming podcast. I've been listening to it. I haven't listened to it much before. And now I have listened to it.
That is a ringing endorsement.
And that's all I want to say about that. No, just joking. So I started to give it a go, and just kind of had never got around to it. And it's good. It's good. They're funny guys. So, yeah, shout out to them. Just let them know that I'm listening. So they mention our podcast quite often, I've noticed. Yeah.
We try to leave a good impression.
That's it, really. Chris, have you gone?
No.
Chris, do you want to go last?
No, I'll go now.
Okay.
That's cool. I'm going to shout out Kim Woods because she's our Facebook fan of the week. And because she listens to the show. She was talking on the Lousy Up podcasting about the whole everybody with 27 in their Twitter handle is related, which I still hold to be fact. So there it is. I'm going to shout out The Real Defoe and Ancient Dead Meat for allowing me to guest on the Lousy Up podcasting last week. And also Gary, The Real Defoe, for sending me the Logitech G500 gaming mouse thanks, bro. It was very nice of him to send that to me. So, sweet. And then I'm going to shout out a long string of people, and you all get to figure out what they all have in common. Ready? Go.
Okay.
Parsec Knows 3000, Steve-O-Matic, The Stickman, Dalken Monster, Seth Wardo, Thuper, Burnout Queen, and Hulk Sun.
All moderators on G4TE.com?
They may have at one point in time had that in common, although not all of them.
Damn it. All people on the G4TE.com chat box?
Not right now.
Damn it. They're all Gate related, I know that.
Absolutely. Even older than Gate.
Oh, they're original 035s.
It is related to the original 035s. They're not original 035s, but they were all...
I feel like I'm playing a game of hot and cold.
Don't worry about it. I was just going to let you keep going until you gave up. Are you done?
I'm done.
Rich? Mike, do you care to play? No? Okay.
I don't really... No, I can't.
Here's what these people have in common. These are the people who I can remember who were part of the original Over 35's Graw 2 Thursday crew.
There you go.
I was listening to... some panels from PAX East, and they were talking about finding a gaming community to get the most out of your gaming. And I remember when I first joined the 035s, I wasn't really, it took a while to kind of get into the group. They're a pretty tight-knit group. But Parsec Knows posted up that he was looking for some people to do Graw 2 co-op. And, I managed to get a time that we could all do it. And that's with the people. And so they were, those were my peeps on the 035s for a while. And they helped me to become part of the community, so I wanted to shout all of them out, because, of course, now we're all part of the G4TE, and you do get much more out of your gaming if you have a community like that. Right? Right.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Greg.
Yes.
You're up.
Okay. I want to shout out at Kyonyokien2381, one... You change your name back, dude, please.
Well, Davies.
For the love of God. Kills me. Kills Chris every time he has to say it, too. I also want to shout out at The Real Defoe and at Sonicun1. What they all have in common is they were people that had shot off a tweet, Pound OC Podcast, Play Misty for me, and we didn't get them on this time, but you guys are in the running. We've got you on the list. Don't worry. You may get, you'll get fed into the feed. You'll be part of it. Just hang in there. I want to shout out Peter Skerritt because he responded to a question I threw out to him a few weeks back. And, yeah, just appreciated the response.
Cool.
And I also want to shout out a podcast that, Chris, you might actually really enjoy this, just based on the fact that you're listening to some of the PAX panels, getting some insight. I'd recommend it to anybody that's curious about game developers. It's a podcast called A Life Well Wasted.
I need to check it out.
Extremely good. They don't have like a weekly thing. I mean, it comes out like every once in like a blue moon. Literally, as I look at their feed, I've got this podcast right here. It's like a yearly podcast. But it's an in-depth interview with some game developers, and they talk about really going all the way back into their childhood and kind of their trajectory into being a game developer and what they're aspiring to become beyond that. And just really interesting, well-done podcast about some game developers. And they just came out with one in March, and it's good stuff. So I was pleasantly surprised. Wish they would do more. So, and that's it. I think we're done. Oh, you know what? We're not done. I want to shout out to my son, Colin. He just turned 4 years old on Sunday. So,
happy
birthday, Colin.
Yeah. Now I can say we are done.
Merry
birthday, Colin.
Bye bye.
This is the drink.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, I didn't know you were. My bad.
That was a genuine
I got it then. That was mine,
I didn't even try to interrupt you. I was just asking. I saw Skull's tweet that the Oblivion reviews have been embargoed until midnight tonight. I was kind of surprised by that. Anyway.
Oblivion?
Yeah, the new Tom Cruise movie.
Oh, got it. All right, let's try this again.
Yeah, you got to warn us, bro.
I thought the big silent thing was the warning. So, Primrose, are you ready to pencil in Tomb Raider as better than Bioshock?
You go too far, Greg.
I don't think so.
I'm ready to put that down.
Far. Yeah, well, you know, I like having a ruckus with you boys.
Okay, I don't think we got any Victory Achieved stuff this week.
Just wait a minute.
I finished Tomb Raider.
I'm getting my arguing face on. I really wanted the Duke soundbite there. Really, Greg? Really?
Yes.
I'm eating some fried chicken. Would you like some?
Oh, God, that sounds so good.
I've been Googling on the bog. Greg.
Yes.
Right. Listen to this.
Okay.
This is definitive, and this is why I knew it wasn't 4,000 on the dot.
100 and?
No, they gifted an Xbox to GameSpot, and it was on the podcast, with all of the songs on it. And the downloadable content library stands at, wait for this, remember where we are between the two answers, 4,254.
Nope, 4,254.
So that would put that close to my answer than yours. The end. You've got to give Gamox 100 fucking points.
You know what? I will do that, Rich. I have no qualms about that. In fact, we'll bring it up when we come out of the show break. It was 4,254, which means, because I pulled that story off Joystick.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, I am a pedantic bastard.
What?
Yes, I am a pedantic bastard.
I don't even know what that means. I know what bastard means, but I don't know what pedantic means. I have one.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out. VGHub.net is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.